ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശരശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാനന്ദ ഗോസ്വാമി ഹരാശൈല പ്രഭുപാദ ജയം ത്രിലാ പ്രവിഷ്ണ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാനന്ദ സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശയില പ്രഭുപാദ അനന്തകുണി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദകി നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർ പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീദ്വൈതാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാന വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി All glories, all glories, Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories, Shri Shri Prabhupada. Namo Mishupadaya, Krishna Prasaya, Bhutare, Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devim, Gauravani Prajarini, Navishesha Shunyavani, Pashyatya Deshadarini. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ
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 ഓം അജ്ഞാന നിവാരണസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനായ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാനുമ്യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സാവിതാംഗ്യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയംരൂപാദാമഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാംബികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സഹഗ്രജാനം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാനുസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണ ലളിതാം ശ്രീ ശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തി സിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീ വർഷഭാനവി ദേവി കൃഷ്ണ സമ്പന്ന പ്രഭേ നമഃ ൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രകൃമനസാംബോധയ പദാംബുജായേ നമഃ ൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ നമോ മഹാവതന്യായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ ത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശഗോപികാകാന്തം നമോസ്തുതേ സുരഗൗമാന്തോർമമാന്തമദർഗതി മത്സംസമദാംബോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനോ ൃന്ദേവോസ്തുനേർഗോപേർഗോപിനാഥാശ്രീസ്തുനാമേ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om
Tathaya Pratibodhinam Bhagavanam Narayana Lila Swayam Vyasena Gridhinam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvamanu Sandarami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadvishinim Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhi Lahadavindaya Namatranetra Yenatvaya Bharata Daila Purna Prajwali Dojnanamaya Pradiva Prabhanavaya Jalaya Totra Vetra Gavanaya Yanam Draya Krishnaya Gita Amrita Duhi Namah Sarvamsha Doga Vodukha Gopala Vandanam Artho Valsa Sudhir Vokta Dukham Gita Amrita Mahar Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Jaura Vardanam Devaki Paramahidandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guram Vishwan Drona Kadavajetra Dajala Gandhara Nilo Alpala Shalyatra Havadi Kribena Mahani Karnena Vela Pula Ashwathama Vigarna Ghore Magara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Khalu Vanda Vairana Nadi Kaivartaka Keshava Parashalya Vajastar Ojamalam Idartha Gandhol Kanam Nanakhyanaka Kesaram Harigata Sambodhana Bhodidam Loge Sajjana Shalpadaira Harahappe Biyamana Buddha Bhuya Bharata Pankaja Kalimala Pradhum Sina Shreyase Bhukam Karodi Vachalam Pangam Lekkai Reginim Yatrubhadamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudramarudastvan Vande Divyaistavir Vredair Sangapadair Kramo Manishadair Gayandiyam Samagaham Dhyana Vastita Tatya Dena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyam Dhamma Vidusura Suragane Devaya Tasmai Namam
Arjuna asked the question in the 21st verse, Kailingaistrin Gunaneda Adido Bhavati Prabho Kimachara Katham Chaidam Strin Gunan Adivartate. That was the question, Arjuna's question. That he said that what are the symptoms of a person who has gone beyond the three modes of material nature? And how do I get over the three modes of material nature? This was the two questions he has asked. Krishna said, first verse was Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Prakashancha Pravurtincha Mohamevacha Pandava Nadveshti Sampravurtani Nanvurtani Kamkshali. That is the straight answer to that question. Krishna is saying that the Prakasham, Pravurti and Moham means Sattugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Prakasham means Sattugunam. Pravruti is Rajogunam and Moham is Tamogunam. Krishna says to Arjuna, first thing is Nadveshti. When the different modes come, he does not get concerned over it very much. He doesn't get upset why this mode has come now. Nadveshti. Sampravrutani, he does not want to get into dealing with that particular mode in that way. Sampravrutani. Nanavrutani Kankshari. He is not concerned at all whether he comes out of it or not. In other words, this is that Udasina state, what Krishna says in the next verse. Udasina. Udasina means that Udasina, being staying higher than the modes, staying above the modes, not being affected by the modes. So, Krishna, after saying that in the next verse, Krishna mentioned there, Udasina Vadasino, Gunair Yona Vijayade. Guna Vartanda Mithyevam Yo Avadishtadi Nengare. Krishna is saying there like that. Udasina means he is not too concerned whether Satugunam comes or Satugunam goes. Similarly, Rajogunam comes or goes, or Tamogunam comes or goes. Always being above the modes. Being above the modes. Because he says, Gunavartanda Vithyeva, that means he is not taking into account the effect of Gunam in him. Why? Because Gunam cannot touch him. The real I inside Alma is not never touched by Gunam. Gunam touches the mind, Gunam touches the senses, Gunam touches the intelligence, Gunam touches the body, but Gunam cannot touch the soul. Knowing very well, because he is fixed in the platform of the soul, he would not get disturbed over it by this. That is what he is saying here. Guna vartanda vithyeva, he is above able to stay. That Gunam is doing it, I am not doing it. Always separating from the modes of nature. That is the thing. Yo avadishtadi nengade, he is always situated in that state. Samadukka sukha swastam, samaloshtashma kanchana, tulya priya priyo dhira, tulya nindatma samstuti. We have seen that that samadukka samam, that happiness or distress, equality there. And Alma always situated, samaloshtashma kanchana, tulya priya apriyo dhira, tulya nind Alma samstuti. That means he is swastam. Swastam means who is swastam? Swastam means one who is situated within the self. He is swastam. To be situated within the self, that is the most important thing. And in that state, samaloshtashma kanchana, stone and gold, they are all same to him at that state. And manava vanayo tulyam tulyo mitrari vakshayoho. Sarva arambha parityagi gunadinsa muchyade. Krishna says there that insult and glory and praise and all that is saying to him. It does not matter to him at all. Tulyo mitrari bakshayo. He has no friend or enemy. He hasn't created any friend or enemy. Friend and enemy comes because of modes of nature. When the modes of nature is operating in us, we consider someone as friend, someone as enemy. Once you have come out of the modes of nature, there is no friend and there is no enemy. Tulyo mitrari bakshayoho. That is why he is able to remain in that state. We create friends and enemies in this world, isn't it? Why? Because of the strong presence of the modes of nature in us. Krishna is saying, manava manayur tulyam, manam avamanam, praise and insult is also same to him because he is not in the modes of nature. Tulyo mitrari bakshayoho. Friend and enemy is also in the, especially these two things. Manapamanayu tulyam, tulyo mitrari bakshayoho is rajogunam and tamogunam. Sarvarambha parityagi. What does that mean? Sarvarambha parityagi means, Krishna says, that he does not endeavor anything particularly in this life. Whatever he does, that means, any karma what he does is only for maintaining his body, nothing more than that. All other karma he withdraws. Other new endeavors he doesn't begin. He has no projects to execute. Maintaining the body is the only concern for him, and whatever karma that is necessary for that, he will do it. That is Sarvarambha Parityagi. Sarvarambha Parityagi, karma that is meant for bodily maintenance is accepted. Anything beyond than that is Sarvarambham. Arambham is Parityagi. Gunadhidasam Uchyade. And he is a Gunadhidam. We have seen, discussed all these verses. We have two more verses, two important verses. But going before that, let's look back at something what we spoke about last Sunday. So, as we mentioned last Sunday, that the Mahalpmas, like in the case of Dhritarashtra we saw there, that somehow or the other, able to move out of these modes is an important step in the spiritual life. So, there we have seen that this Takshaka came to bite Parikshit. Takshaka came to bite Parikshit. Shuka Brahmarshi told Parikshit, Aham Brahma Paramdhama Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samikshan Almanam Almanyadhaya Nishkale. This was his words. who Shukla Brahmarshi's words, isn't it? So, till when do you see this state that he says to him that Aham Brahmam, I am Brahmam, Param Dhamam, Brahmaham, Paramam Padam. I have reached that state of Brahmam. And when Takshaka bites the feet of Parikshit, Brahmaham Paramam, Evam Samichan Almanam Almanyathaya Nishkale. In the background of Alma, the soul, all these things are happening. What all is happening? Takshaka is coming, biting Parikshit, the poison being injected, Parikshit body is burning into ashes. Dashandam Takshagamhanam Lelihanam Mushanalai says in the next verse, isn't it? At that time, because Parikshit Maharaj is situated in the platform of Brahma, in the platform of the soul, Takshaka, the poison, Shariram cha, Vishwam cha, Prithagalmana, he says. That means those things, Shariram, the world, the body, the world, Takshaka, the poison, everything is a drama that is happening in the background, the screen, Alma. That is that verse. Dashandam Takshagamhanam Lelihanam Mushanalai. Shariram ja pradaksha vishya. Vishwamcha Pradagalmana, he says there, isn't it? Vishwamcha Pradagalmana, if you look into that, they are important verses because that is where he is saying that Nadrakshasi, that you will not see they separate, which one? Body, his own body, Takshaka's body. Takshaka's body is a snake form, Parikshit's body is a human form. World is another form. What does that mean? Namarupam has gone completely. No name, no form anymore. They are all different forms and shapes in the background of Alma. It's a very important realization. Dashandam nakshagam pade lelihanam vishananehi nadrakshasi shariram cha vishwam cha prathagalmana. It's the 12th verse in the 5th chapter. So, this is that state when one is freed from the modes. In the modes, while in the modes, we will see the name and form. Everything in the name and form. So, here, one thing we have to understand that then if we reach that state, people may say it is selfishness, but it is not selfishness. It's not selfishness. This is what we should be aiming at, to get to this state. What Parikshit has been reached there. Instead, if you are able to control your flow of prana inside, or able to meditate for some time, that's all okay. But that is not the final goal. Final goal is this state what Parikshit has reached. So, even we will think that how our mind works, when the mind comes forward, it says that you should be famous all over the world. But you may become very famous in the world, but this problem is still in front of you. It hasn't gone away. Everybody, is it not? That is why if you look into Guru Ashtakam, which Acharya Swami wrote first, he says here, Tatakyam, 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 he says there. Can see what he mentioned was Shariram Surubam Tathava Kalatram Yashascharu Chitram Dhanam Meru Tulyam Manascheru Legnam Guru Rangri Patmam Tatakyam 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 Tatakyam. He says there that Shariram Surubam, you have got a very very healthy body, you got a very healthy body and very beautiful body also, and you are very healthy. Wife is very beautiful and she is also very healthy. Plenty of money, plenty of wealth, and you are famous all over the world. If you may have all these things, but at the end, if you do not have bhakti at the lotus feet of the spiritual master, what is the use? What is the use? What is the use? He says there. Because what he means by that, you have to know this, that bhakti to spiritual master means, what does bhakti to spiritual master means? This question always comes back. People have this misunderstanding that if I massage my guru's feet, or I wash his feet and with yogurt or whatever, and clean his feet, none of these is bhakti, what Krishna is, what Acharya is mentioned there. Bhakti is referred to is that guru bhakti means, first of all, on his own, he should have realized the truth. He should have, guru must be a realized soul. And from such a person who has realized the truth, and from him, we have to get that truth from that spiritual master. And that truth, which should not be affected by birth or death. By birth or death. That is the purpose of Guru Bhakti. Guru Bhakti is not all this external what we normally conduct ourselves. In various ways we try to express our Guru Bhakti in various ways. A guru is actually pleased when you realize the truth. That is what will please him. Not anything else. Other things may be there, but they are only very, very minimum importance given to that. The main stress is on, from a realized soul as a spiritual master, if you realize the truth, that is what pleases him more than anything else. That is Guru Bhakti. That is what Acharyas are mentioning there. Tatakim, 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 tatakim. What is the use? What is the use of all these things? Externally, nowadays it is particularly relevant because a lot of people have this misunderstanding. My Guru Bhakti is all the show what I have to perform here. And if you can write sometimes that people offer, give a big dakshina to the Guru to please him, or massage his feet or wash his feet, and or glorify him in a nice way by writing good offerings to him. They are all there, that is there, that's not, nobody is rejecting that. But that is not what pleases a spiritual master. What pleases a spiritual master is that if he is get pleased by all these things, you have to ask the question, is he a guru? That will be the question. If by massaging the feet and or by washing the feet or by offering him a good dakshina and or glorifying him with a good offering, if all these things are pleasing him, then you have to ask the question, is he really a guru? Is he really a guru? Because if a guru gets pleased simply by me washing his feet, then he is not a guru. He is not a guru. Or if I have 5 minutes I've been given to speak glorifying him, and I spoke 5 minutes in his glorification, and if he is pleased with that, he's not a guru. He's not a guru. Actually, because such people, if they are getting pleased with that, they are even below the materialistic persons. Even they are lower than the materialistic persons. Because the proper guru, he will not be pleased with all these things. What he is looking for is, even a limited bit of knowledge and realization will not satisfy him. Will not satisfy him. In fact, this famous book, Kaivalya Navanitam, I mentioned there, mentioned before, that the disciple says to the spiritual master like this, by your mercy, I have received the knowledge of the self. This is the knowledge of the self. And I got what I wanted. And what shall I give it back to you in return? He says to the spiritual master. And I don't know what to say, he said. So he put it like this. He said, so many lifetimes, inside me, situated within my heart, as the guru. That is a guru coming from there, isn't it? Atmano guru atmaiva, purushasya visheshada. And sitting there, that seed of liberation, you have made it grow inside me. Because without your help, I would not have come to this state. The disciple is acknowledging that. He is saying, my bhakti, jnanam, all this has grown in me and my desire for liberation has grown only because while sitting inside my heart, you made that to happen. You made that to happen. And finally, not only that it grew well, finally the necessary renunciation you have created in me from the world, vairagyam. And also you started making me feel the urgency to realize the truth within me. And inside me as Antaryami, and situated in that way, and you have been driving me in the path of self-realization all this time. Not in this life only, even lifetime, many lifetimes before, you have done that to me. But now you have come in front of me in a particular form. After all, spiritual master is Krishna himself. This is the concept. That verse Uddhava said to Krishna, Almano Guru Almaiva Purushasti Visheshana Pratyaksha Nanumanabhyam Shreyasa Manuvindade. And after coming out as spiritual master, you have instructed me in the tatvamasi of my position as the self, and you made me to sit in that truth, establish me in that truth. And what shall I give it to you in return? How can I repay this? This is the obligation the disciple has to feel. This is the, you see that relationship, how it is? It is not a very simple thing as we make out of it. That all other things, washing feet and massaging feet and all, that's all simply on the, based on the body, that's all. But much, much higher thing than that is what he has done to us. Several lifetimes wandering around in this world, Krishna sitting inside the heart as the Guru, Chaitya Guru, he has given that inspiration from inside to come out of this material life, and he created that vasana inside to inquire after the truth. Who else has done that except the Antaryami? That Antaryami who has done this inside, and if when he says that, what the spiritual master gets pleased. When such a response comes from the disciple, the spiritual master gets pleased with that. Because he knows that he has got it then, when he has to say this to him. Only in a realized state, a disciple will be able to say this to the guru. Otherwise, it will be bluff, isn't it? But when the disciple receives that mercy, of Krishna's mercy, Kripa, which comes in this form, that means for several lifetimes, this desire has grown inside, and finally, it has taken this shape of the inquiry for that seed that has grown inside. Finally, that necessary renunciation and detachment from this world and close attachment to the truth. And finally, the spiritual master puts him into that state of tatvamasi, of realizing the self and establishing him there. And the disciple has to acknowledge that. And that is like the way Parikshit has done. You will see the Parikshit's verses if you look in the Bhagavatam, what he said to him at that time. When he said that, in that fifth verse, after saying all the fifth chapter, Shuka Brahmarshi pulled out, he withdrew. And what is that acknowledgement from Parikshit is like this: Siddho Asmi, Anigrihito Asmi, Bhavata Karuna Almana Shravido Yachame Sakshal Anadinidhano Hari Natyalputamahammani Mahadam Achudalpanam Ajneshu Tavadateshu Budeshu Yadanugraham Purana Samhidamedam Ashosh Babadovayam Yasyam Galuttamashloko Bhagavan Anuvarnyate Bhagavam Dakshagadibhyo Mrutibhyo Namibhemyaham Pravishto Brahma Nirvanam Abhayam Darshidam Toya. That is that acknowledgement. He is saying, Bhagavam Tatshagadibhyo Mrityubhyo Na Bibhemyaham. I am not frightened of Tatshaga, I am not frightened of death. Parikshit is saying, I am not frightened of Tatshaga, I am not frightened of Bhagavam Tatshagadibhyo Mrityubhyo Na Bibhemyaham. Then what? Pravishtam Brahma Nirvanam Abhayam Darshidam Toya. I have reached that state of Brahman. Where is the question of Friya? He is saying. when a disciple says this, that spiritual master, that is what will please the spiritual master. So only if the spiritual disciple comes to this level, that will please the spiritual master. Pravishto Brahma Nirvanam Abhayam Darshidam Toya, you have given me that shelter. And that pleases the spiritual master, no other thing. If a spiritual master is getting pleased with any other things, you have to question whether he is a spiritual master or not. Anijani himam brahman vajam yacham yadokshaje mukta kama asheyam cheda pravesya visrajam yasun ajnanam cha nirastam me jnana vijnana nishtaya bhavata adarshinam kshemam param bhagavadapadam. He says, ajnanam cha nirastam me, that ajnanam, ignorance which was inside me, has gone. Jnana vijnana nishtaya, I am fully situated in the transcendental state of me. Because when you are situated in your own identity of the self, then you are jnana vijnana nishta. That is what it is called, jnana vijnana nishta. Jnana vijnana nishta means being situated in one's own identity of the self. That is jnana vijnana nishta. Bhavada adarshidam kshemam, by seeing you, this has happened to me, says Parikshit. Param bhagavada padam, and I have reached that state where I should be. To say this for a disciple to come to that, you can imagine what all necessary Shukha Brahmarshi had to do. In the 7 days of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Shukha Brahmarshi spoke to Bhagavad Parikshit, and finally when Brahmavadesham is Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, that's what was spoken in those verses which we discussed before, and finally Parikshit acknowledges that state, what he has reached. And then after that, you don't see anymore Shukha Brahmarshi there. Shukha Brahmarshi has gone from there. That was the end of that Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the same way here, you can see that so it has pleased the Guru. That is a proper acknowledgement of a disciple to the Guru. I have reached that state. What you has happened to me due to your the way Parikshit has put it there. So sometimes what will happen is that you have got it, the truth, but like if you go into the lake, and sometimes the lake is covered with green leaves and different things, isn't it? But underneath that, water is clear water. So generally when you go into the lake to bathe, what you do is you move that with the hand and then you immerse yourself and then you come out. And once you come out, again the leaves will come back and cover it. Again the leaves will come. Similarly, when the ignorance leaves us, finally, when the ignorance goes away, and when we start seeing the truth, what the truth means, our own identity, who we are, when we realize us that, we can see, again, it can come back and cover. This ignorance can come back and cover. Therefore, three kinds of, in Shastram says, there are three kinds of blocks that comes in that state. First thing is, first thing what we have got is doubt. When you realize the truth finally, you have a doubt inside. Am I situated properly in the truth, in the self? That is the establishment of the truth. When we have self-realization, these doubts will come. Am I situated in the platform of the self? In order that to come out of that truth, Acharya has to say to us that you are situated in the truth. Situated in the truth. And in order to say that Acharya must be a realized person. Otherwise, he cannot say that. A realized soul, spiritual master, he will be able to tell us that you are situated in the platform of the soul. So the soul. So, and he has to say to us that be situated in that state and remain in that state forever. So that is how that doubt is removed. When we have a doubt about when we leave the body, our identification with the body goes away, and we get established in the truth of the self, we may still have the doubt, am I reached the state or not? This will happen. It is at that time, spiritual master alone can help to tell us that whether you have got there or not. And he has to tell you to stay in that state, not to come back from there again. First problem. Second problem is that even after realizing the truth, you will fall back into the body again. Dehabhimanam will come back. And the third one is that you will get doubts which are quite opposite to all these things. Doubts will come. Samshayam, Viparyayam, Ajnanam. Three things. They call that these three things. Samshayam is the doubt. Viparyayam is that again coming back to the body. And the third one, Ajnanam, is that opposite ideas coming into the mind. Coming into the mind. So, sometimes you can see that somebody says to you that you have some glimpse of the truth, Satyadarshitam, or you are a yogi, or you are incarnation. You may have started getting all these thoughts in you when this realization happens. That you start feeling that you are a yogi, or you are one who has realized the truth, or you are even an incarnation. Because what happens is, the false ego which has left, it will come back dressed up in all these forms. In different forms it will come back again, the false ego. You have already left the false ego. False ego is gone, but it can come back again in a different form. That's the nature of the false ego. And that is where the difficulty, that is where Guru's support is necessary at that point more than any other time. That is when he has to, that your Surubanishta, Surubanishta means to be situated in the platform of the self, somebody has to certify that. And that is the responsibility of the spiritual master. And not allow to, not to lose that again, that state. And if you situate it and you are permanently established in that, spiritual master gets immensely pleased with that. That is what pleases him, not the other things. This is the only thing that actually pleases him. That actually pleases him. Because he knows very well that what you have to really get in spiritual life, you have got it. You have finally got it. And how can this be affected again? We have seen that. Krishna mentions there, Prakashancha Pravurthimcha Mohamevacha Pandava. He says, isn't it? This is the problem. Even in that state, Prakashancha Pravurthincha Mohamevacha Pandava Nadveshti Sampravurthani Nanivurthani Kankshari. See, those things can come back again. Those things can come back again. For example, if Sattugunam comes, you will fall into that. If Sattugunam comes, you can fall into that. Then you start thinking that I am meditating, I am in the yoga state. Things like that can come back. Those thoughts can come back. If it is in the Rajogunam comes back, what will happen is, you will start lamenting, oh, I have fallen into Rajogunam. I have fallen into Rajogunam. And if Tamogunam comes back, without betting, identifying with any of those things, without identifying with the Tamogunam, and if you are able to stay without getting affected by that tamogunam, then the jiva requires the mercy or the grace of the spiritual master. When we say grace of the spiritual master means, it's not different from Krishna's grace. Krishna's grace and spiritual master's grace is not different. They are not different. Krishna's grace comes through some form that is a spiritual master. But it is actually Krishna's grace. Or, but we call it as spiritual master's grace. So spiritual master's grace is necessary for that. That when Sattugunam, if after all this has happened, and when Krishna is saying Prakashancha Pravurthincha Mohamevacha Pandava Nadveshti Sampravurthani Nanuvurthani Kamkshari, again if Sattugunam, Rajogunam or Tamogunam comes, you can fall back into it and get affected by that. Modes are very, very powerful. Modes are very, very powerful. You on your own won't be able to leave the modes of nature and go away. Krishna has to take us out. And she has to let us out. Maya. Maya has to let us out. So, so this Krishna's grace or Guru's grace is, that means that it is not happening in me,
that grace.
What is happening is that in all these modes of nature, that is a grace. Modes of nature is happening in the Prakriti, not in me. That realization, that has to stay. And I am something which is untouched by the Prakriti. Prakriti cannot touch me. This is that realization. And that adhishthanam, that basis has to wake up inside. Wake up inside. It's a very difficult situation. That all the time we are in the modes of nature in the moment. Is it not? We have not come out of it. If we do come out of it from the modes of nature, Krishna is saying here that even after getting established in the truth, they can come back. They can come back and haunt you in a different way. Why? Because ahangaram, false ego's nature is like that. The only time when the personality and the ego disappears is in the sushupti, deep sleep state. Now, you are trying to create that situation, the vacant state. That's what we are trying to do, isn't it? In spiritual life, it's all about that. That same experience what we have in the deep sleep state, we are trying to bring it back into the vacant state. Krishna is saying here that tadastitaha bhodayanti gurava shutavo yadha. So, there the help of the spiritual master is necessary, because Krishna is present there in the form of the spiritual master, that even in the final moment, when the three modes of material nature is coming and attacking us in the form of sattogunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, even to stand above that requires Krishna's grace. So, therefore, only a person who is out of the modes of nature, that is the spiritual master, can do that. If he is also in the modes of nature, then what will happen? Imagine. Just see the situation, how difficult it is. If he is under the modes of nature and he is trying to get you out of the modes of nature, how will that happen? It will never happen, isn't it? So, he has to tell us that it will not affect you. The modes of nature will not affect you. And you are out of it, and to get you fixed in that state, and if you know about yourself properly, nothing will happen, and all your shortcomings are in the Prakriti. It is not in you. This is the truth, isn't it? The self is never have any problems. Self is always completely out of it, but it is a feeling inside, I am affected by Rajogunam. I am affected by Tamogunam, I am affected by Sattogunam, and in reality I am not affected by any of those things. But I am feeling I am affected. Who is feeling this? Prakriti is telling me that I am affected. Is it not? Prakriti is telling me I am affected by Tamogunam. Prakriti is telling me I am affected by Rajogunam. Prakriti is telling me I am affected by Sattogunam. So, often you will notice this, that those who are out of the three modes of nature, if somebody says to them, I have fallen into Tamogunam, if you say to them, I have fallen into Tamogunam, their answer will be that who is saying this? So that remind you that the self is not an influence by the Tamogunam. Mind is affected by Tamogunam, Ahangaram is affected by Tamogunam, but self is not affected by Tamogunam. And if you say to him that I am affected by Tamogunam, they will ask you this question back, who is the person saying this that is affected by Tamogunam? So Jiva, which is Ahangaram, false ego, this Jiva's nature is he goes and hides somewhere and comes out all the time in the form of false ego. And when he hides away, when he goes away, what remains there is the self, and you are situated in the self and there. So at that time, that clarity will come. That clarity will come at that time. So you will know that Tamogunam has not affected me. It has not affected me. That is in the Prakriti. It is in the material nature. And I am that Vastu which is free from all modes of nature. Because only Krishna mentions in this chapter If you want a permanent solution to the problem, you have to look at it this way. What is that? For example, lust is there. Lust is there. You have to ask the question, who has got the lust? That means every emotions, what is attacking us from the Prakriti, by asking this question all the time, who is experiencing this emotion? Who is experiencing lust? Who is experiencing greed? Who is experiencing anger? In this way, simply questioning this, and you have to free yourself from the Prakriti in that way. When you question that, you know that it is not in the self, it is in the ego, ahankara, or in the mind, whichever way you want to look at it. They have not touched us. What is happening is, just like the way we have identified with the jiva as ourselves, instead of identifying with Atma, we have identified jiva. So all that is happening to the jiva affects us. And this lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, all sorts of emotions, that is all in relationship with the ego. In relation with the ego. And you can see this very clearly when you go into the deep sleep state. When you go into deep sleep state, ego is not there, none of these emotions are there either. No lust, no anger, no greed, nothing in the deep sleep. As much, just exactly like the way the ego is. Exactly like the way the ego is. So ego disappears in the deep sleep. All emotions disappears in the deep sleep. If this position we achieve in the vacant state, then every time when you feel you are infected with any of those emotions, you have to keep asking this question, who is having this problem? Who is having the lust? Who is having the anger? Who is having the greed? Who is having the pride? Who is having the enemy? If you keep on asking that question, that is the easiest process by which you can move away from the Prakriti. Because when you ask that question, Prakriti has no answer. Prakriti knows very well it is in the Prakriti, not in you. It is your own making that you are feeling that I have got it, I got anger, I got lusty, I got greedy, I got envy. It is not in me, it is all in the Prakriti and it is all in the mind. So that is the important point. So, Prakriti's defects, these are all Prakriti's defects. Anger, lust, greed, envy, competition, all these things are in the Prakriti, isn't it? What we are doing is, you are imposing all of them in our real self, in our real self, in our identity. But what instead of saying all these things, Krishna is asking this question. All these emotions, when you are in deep sleep, are they there? They don't exist in the deep sleep, do they? So why they are not there? Why are they not there? Because there is no mind. There is no mind in the deep sleep. Because there is no mind in the deep sleep, none of these emotions also cannot come to the deep sleep. Isn't it? So from there you can understand that all this lust, anger, greed and all other things, it's all in the mind. It's all in the mind. Not only that, in the Sushupti state, even you don't exist in the form you are existing in the vacant state. In the vacant state, you are existing in the form of false ego. Even that form, you are losing in the deep sleep state. In the deep sleep state. So, So Sushupti is the best example for that, the best proof that these emotions and all these effects are all existing only in the mind, it is not existing in the self. That is the first thing we have to be convinced about. None of them has touched me. Otherwise, these statements in the Sachidanandam has no meaning, isn't it? Soul, we say that soul is Satchitta Anandam. You are thinking that it is going to happen one day to the soul. Right at the moment soul is having all this problem. No, soul doesn't have any problem even at the moment. When we say Nityashuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated. That is the nature of the soul. And even now, right at this moment, that is the situation. But due to Ajnanam in us, we are imposing all the problems of the Prakriti on the soul and suffering from that. So, because Sushupti state is the proof for all these things, what we have to do is, to accept that theory that in Sushupti none of them is touching me, why should they touch me in Jagrat, in vacant state? So consciously, if we accept that, then and assert it ourselves, fully assert it ourselves, that in the vacant state also it cannot touch me. And in that way, quietly withdraw from the Pragati. That is the request from Krishna. Krishna's point is that. That is why these verses were spoken with this understanding, that in the deep sleep state, they are not there. From that is the proof to show to us that in the deep sleep state, the mind is not there, the ego is not there, none of these emotions exist. Lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, none of them. And consciously, we have to bring that realization into the vacant state. Only in the vacant state they are appearing. Why? Because the mind is there. Because the mind is there. So, consciously, we have to assert it and little by little withdraw from the Prakriti. And otherwise, if you start fighting with the Prakriti and try to escape from with all these problems, nobody can win. That is what that verse is saying. When Krishna is saying in the earlier, in the 4th or 7th chapter, Devi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya Mamevayam Prabhadyande Maya Medam Tharandide. That is that verse. Then Gunamayi, this Devi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya, Krishna's Maya, which is Gunamayi, three modes of material nature, Durateya, is very difficult to overcome. The only way you can come out of this is this understanding. From the Jnana Margam, this is the process. From Bhakti Margam, simply surrendering to Krishna. There is no other way. So instead of giving our power, energy or strength to that Maya, if you withdraw from that, then there is a possibility of coming out of it. Possibility of coming out of it. So, so this withdrawal important, whether it is anger, whether it is envy, or whether it is greed, whatever it is, pull out from that, knowing well that that is happening in the Prakriti. And simply taking that it is only a thought wave that's appearing in me. This all can happen only through practice, otherwise it will not happen. So, so those thoughts which are coming at that time is all happening in the Prakriti, not in me. Generally what happens is we think, oh, it has happened to me. We think like that. Is it not? So Krishna's point is, it has not happened to you. It has happened in the Prakriti. Similarly, sleep, dream and vacant state, all this is in the Prakriti. All this is in the Prakriti. But behind all these things, something that never changes, always present astitvam. Astitvam means awareness. And always, who is making us conscious of our own existence, that awareness, Chit Shakti. And that is present in all the time, isn't it? You remember that this awareness inside us, that is the only tangible proof we have of existence of Krishna inside the heart, isn't it? That is why it's so much importance is given to this awareness. Why? Because this awareness is always present in us. Nothing else you can take seriously. In the form of experience. Remember, we discussed this before. What you perceive through senses, they are not your experience. What the only thing what you have in really in experience is this awareness of your own existence. And that is where our Swarupam is. And that we have already got it. We don't have to get it anywhere from new. Already got it. So, turning our Shraddha there, that Shraddha turning there, that is Jnana Margam. Shraddha going there. Dhyana Margam. This is Jnana Margam. Now, Dhyana Margam is that is imagination. Dhyana Margam is imagination. With your mind, you are imagining that I am Atma, I have no birth, I have no death, and I am always pure, my state is always pure, and my nature is always blissful, and finally, through this dhyanam process also, this is a dhyanam margam. Through dhyanam process, finally you have to come to the path of knowledge, jnana margam. You have to come to that. So jnana margam is telling us that I am Atma, I am Brahman, and that you have known in your platform of the mind, in the mental platform. Now what is happening is that you are going beyond that mind, and there you are touching that screen inside Atma or Brahman, Nitya Vastu, permanently who is present there, and that is what that Dhyanam leads to. Jnanam. Dhyanam leads to Jnanam. First it starts with Dhyanam, but then it leads to Jnanam. That is why Shuka Brahmarshi told Parikshit to meditate on that. If you look into Bhagavatam, how the words are chosen, if you carefully observe that, you will see there, then when Parikshit says, Shuka Brahmarshi says to him that Atranu Varnido Bhishnam Vishwalma Bhagavan Hari Yasya Prasadajo Brahma Rudra Krodha Samulbhavaham. Then finally he says to him that Aham Brahma Param Dhamam Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samikshan Atmanam Atmanyadhaya Nishkale. So when he says this to Parikshit, Shuka Brahmarshi says this to Parikshit, he is saying to him, come from that Dhyanam stage to the realization stage. Dhyanam is the realization stage. Dhyanam is the in-between process where it is. So from the Dhyanam, he says to him that you come to this state that like the sky, he gave that example, like the sky, that you are that Chaitanyam or the living force which is present everywhere. Ghatagasham, Matagasham, you saw that word, isn't it? Ghatani pinne yatha akashe, akashasya yatha pura, evam dehemade jivo, brahma sambandhyate puna. Give up that jivatvam and come to the state of Atma, he says to him. Because clouds doesn't touch the space. Clouds doesn't touch the space. So darkness and the light does not touch the space. Similarly, none of these emotions cannot touch you. Which means birth and death also cannot touch you. It is difficult to explain this because as Parikshit has been spoken, like by the Parikshit Brahmarshi also, that and Ajahni Swami also mentioned Chidananda Rupam Shivoham Shivoham. Chidananda Rupam it is. You can meditate all these things, and through meditation Anandam will come, bliss will come. But problem is, meditation is based on imagination. Bhavana it is, isn't it? It is imagination it is. So if your imaginative power goes away, you will lose your meditation. That's what happens. Just like you can see, people do meditation, but when they come out of the meditation, they come back to the body again. That shouldn't happen. This is the problem with dhyana. Meditation process, this is one of the problems. That once you finish that meditation, if you come out of the meditation, you'll come back to the body, which should not happen. That is why after dhyanam, you should reach jnanam. Jnanam stage has to come. So that is why dhyanam must come with jnanam. Must come with jnanam. Dhyanam and jnanam has to go together. That is why in the 12th chapter, when Krishna spoke about that, what did he say? Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. Dhyanal karma phalatyagam tyagak chandiranandaram. Very often misunderstood words that is. And when you remember this, we talked about it in the 12th chapter. We mentioned there that jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, dhyanal karma balatyagam tyagakshan. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal. Otherwise that words will completely confuse people. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. Isn't it? The word says like that. And you start thinking, higher than the jnanam is dhyanam? It can't be. It can't be. Because throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is glorifying jnanam. And then he says, better than the jnanam is dhyanam. So that becomes a contradiction. That is not how you have to understand that verse. What it means is that dhyanam is good, but finally dhyanam associated with jnanam is best. That's how it means. Dhyanam associated with jnanam is the best. Because why? The problem is this. In dhyanam, through imagination you do your dhyanam, meditation. You will reach the stage, but the moment you stop your dhyanam, you will fall back into the body again. If dhyanam is associated with jnanam, you will never fall back. You will remain. But that jnanam comes later. You have to go through the dhyanam process first. So, that is why jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, Krishna says there. So, sometimes people misunderstand that jnanam is better than jnanam. Better than jnanam. So, this is how Bhagavad Gita is. You will read this and then you will see Krishna is saying something which contradicts. Earlier in 4th or 5th chapter, Krishna is glorified, saying that jnani and me are not different, he says. Jnani twalpaiva me madam, he says there, isn't it? In the seventh chapter. Three or four verses where he mentions about the jnani. Is it not? Udara sarvayevede jnani twalpaiva me madam, astito saha yuktalma tameva uttamam ganim. And this is another next verse also. Bahunam janmanamande jnanavanmam prabhantyade vasudeva sarvamidi samahatma sudurlabha. Tesham jnani nitya yukta ega bhaktir vishishyade priyohi jnani nyotyartam ahim sacha mama priya. So all these verses he has glorified jnani. And then finally Krishna is saying that jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. So then you stop reading Bhagavad Gita. You will put it back and go. It's all. Then you say Krishna himself contradicting, they'll say. It's not contradiction. Contradiction is that the way that words are structured, when it's a jnanal dhyanam vishishare, what it means is jnanam combined with jnanam is very good, is the best. That's what it means. That's the way you have to understand. Jnanal dhyanam vishishare. Then that will make sense. Otherwise it won't make sense. So otherwise, simply dhyanam alone is not good enough. Simply a lot of dhyanam is going on, meditation classes and all that nowadays happens, isn't it? A lot of people attend meditation classes. But that dhyanam, what they are doing, dhyanam is good, but the problem with this dhyanam is that they are going for this dhyanam with a different goal. Because they don't have jnanam. That is why. If you have jnanam, you won't perform dhyanam for any material purposes. Many of these meditation courses, classes and all that, all for getting your peace of mind or for reducing your blood pressure or asthma or cancer or whatever diseases we have got. They are saying that they will say, oh, dhyanam, meditation is good for all these different diseases, blood pressure and everything. So, which is a question, whether if you do meditation, your blood pressure will come down or not, that I don't know. That nobody knows about it. It's two different things it is. Blood pressure is for the body. Meditation is for the Atma. How these are connected together, I don't know. But advertisers, they do all these things. Everyone uses every little thing they can do for advertisement, isn't it? So, like that, everything is marketed in that way, in this world. You can see so many products. They say if you take this, beetroot juice, for example. If you look at the advertisement of that, some of the companies, they have put it forward. For every disease, the remedy is beetroot juice. It's like the nectar brought from the heavenly planets or something. So, if I drink 1 liter beetroot juice, everything, all my problems will go with that. It won't go. I tried, didn't go, so I can tell you that didn't work. So this is how the marketing philosophy is like that. Every product, they advertise it like this, just to get it sold somehow. So similarly, dhyanam also they are marketing like this, in the same way, blood pressure, cancer, whatever disease you have got, everything, dhyanam is the answer for them. So one day somebody asked that why you are having this dhyanam for blood pressure. He said, Swami said, I don't know anything about blood pressure. He said, I want to increase my BP. He said, BP means Bhagavan's protection. Krishna said, I want to increase it. That's what I'm doing dhyanam. That was his answer. So in fact, when I'm doing dhyanam, he said, my blood pressure goes up. He said, Bhagavan's protection. He said, my BP goes up. So all these things are just like this. Ganga water is flowing. Ganga's glory is unlimited. Isn't it? Ganga Nadi's glory is unlimited. The water that is washed at Krishna's feet is flowing as Ganga river there. But that same water is used in the toilets and cleaning purposes. In all places in Allahabad and all right up to Ganga Sagar, in all the villages and everywhere, the same Ganga river water is used for the toilet purposes also. Similarly, Ganga river's glory doesn't go away because you have used it for in your toilet purposes. It doesn't go away. Similarly, Chaitanya, living force is like that. Living force is Atma. For example, Hiranyakashipu also performed meditation, isn't it? And Hiranyaksha also performed meditation. Ravana also performed meditation. But what was that meditation, what they were doing? Their meditation was their personality development. That's what it was, is it not? The ego in these, because their dhyanam was like that. That all in Rajogunam, completely under the control of Rajogunam, Ravana, and also Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, all of them, their meditation was in Rajogunam. Therefore, it was personality development, Ahangaram, Jivaktum, Ahangaram development, isn't it? Whereas, in spiritually, if you develop, perform dhyanam properly, in a spiritual way, what will happen? It is completely erasing that personality from inside, not developing the personality, and finding your true source. That's what it is. That means, this ahangaram should dissolve in this dhyanam. That is what dhyanam is about. The dissolution of the ahangaram inside, false ego inside, and finding our true identity as the self, as spirit. And in other words, you become completely jivatvam goes away and come to that state. Jivabhavam goes away. So there are many instances like this, that when you analyze, this is where this personalism, impersonalism situation will come. People have a lot of difficulty over this, isn't it? And you can see, everyone finds that difficult to, because the way we see things are different. Everybody sees things different. If you look into the 7th chapter, 8th verse, Prabhupada also mentions the same thing. Rasoham apsu kaundeya prabhasmi shashi surya yoho pranava sarva vedeshu shabdhake pavirusham narshu. That verse, I will just have a look. Thanks. So here you can see in the purport, Prabhupada mentions there that in the first paragraph in the purport, towards the end, he says, first paragraph towards the end, that is the way of perceiving the Supreme, he says, 4 or 5 lines before the end of the first paragraph. He says, practically speaking, there is no conflict between personalism and impersonalism. It's no point in jumping around the whole world and telling them that all impersonalism is nonsense and all that. That won't work. Because Prabhupada is writing here, practically speaking, there is no conflict between personalism and impersonalism. One who knows God knows that the impersonal conception and personal conception are simultaneously present in everything and that there is no contradiction. And to come to this understanding, it will take time. It will take time. We will take one side. And we'll go with that. And our whole life will be busy with banging the other one down. So that's how we are all. That is our Rajoguna in us, isn't it? That's what it does. But if you have that philosophical clarity inside, you can understand that. Because Upanishads and all are completely on an impersonal level, it is spoken. Brahman, Brahman. Brahman, Krishna is non-different. They are one and the same. On the personality conception, we worship Krishna, we surrender to Krishna. Bhakti level, we go like that. In the Jnana Margam, the impersonal conception, Brahman, that realization is also correct. Neither of them are wrong. Both are correct. So that is what he is saying here, that it is for because of this only, he says here, present in everything, and there is no contrast. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established this Achindya Bheda Bheda Tattvam. He says, Bhedam, Abhedam, Samanam is oneness and difference because of this. So, you have to accept it in that way. That is the right way to look at it. Otherwise, it will cause a lot of... Or you have read other places where Prabhupada has spoken very strongly about impersonalism, and when you come here and when you read this, you're in trouble again. You'll start thinking why he's writing like this. So some people say, there's a lot of contradiction in the book. They say like that. So understanding this impersonalism, you have to not to think about it in a very derogatory manner, because everything has its own, and this argument will never come to an end. Personalism and impersonalism. If you look into the first canto of Bhagavatam, I can't remember which verse it is, Prabhupada mentions this again. This fight between personalism and impersonalism is going on from time immemorial, he says there. I think the 18th, 19th chapter somewhere in the purport he mentions there, one of them. So personality, impersonality, all these things are, there's a book, The Mighty Impersonality. There's a book written about that. They are saying in personality there is no power, because in personality, all the might comes from the impersonal source. Personality means always fear, fearful, isn't it? Impersonality, Upanishad says, is Bhumava. Bhumava means unlimited. Personality is limited. That is their argument, impersonal side, isn't it? And limited one is always fearful. Limited one is always fearful. If you look into that verse in the Bhagavatam, Manye kutachil bhayam achyudasya padambuja vasana matra nityam. That is at Kavi Maharshi's first verse in the 11th canto. You will see there that the same thing coming up there. That personality is always frightened about impersonality. Impersonality. And because impersonal means you are unlimited. Personality means you are limited. Yatada anyat nashpashyati na anyat shrunodi anyat vijanati. So that situation will come when you come to this point that dhyanam is a process, but finally you have to come to jnanam, to knowledge. What does jnanam does? Jnanam doesn't want you to continue with imagination, bhavana, imagination. Because imagination, everything is done by the mind, by the mind. When you are in meditation, whatever you are imagining in your imagination, bhavana, that is done by the mind. All the work is done by the body. Work is done by the body. And this shariram, body and the mind, is continuously changing. Continuously changing. And it is continuously transforming. Continuously changing and transforming. It's always moving, isn't it? Body and the mind is constantly moving and changing. So these are, vastu is called kritam. Kritam means it's limited. With the limited vastu, kritama vastu, you cannot get an unlimited thing. You cannot get an unlimited thing. That is why it's mentioned there that first thing is to keep this mind and the body away, and initially to realize that neither the body, mind, intelligence is me, and something beyond than all these things, where my awareness exists, beyond this body, beyond this mind, beyond this intelligence, beyond all these three things, I exist, that awareness exists. And what we have got now is that awareness which exists beyond the body, mind and the intelligence. So, if you take your body, mind and intelligence, and if you take your consciousness, out of these four, or even the five including your ego, it is only the consciousness that stays above all the other four. Body will leave you, mind will leave you, intelligence will leave you, and ego also leaves you, but consciousness cannot leave you. Because consciousness cannot leave you, consciousness is all closer to you than all the other things. So, because consciousness is in the form of experience level, whereas everything else is in the form of pratiti. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is pratiti. It is not anubhavam. If it is anubhavam, it means it should remain in all the three states. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Because it doesn't come into the Sushupti state, it is separate from you. This is the argument. You see, body, mind, intelligence, ego, they are not with you in the deep sleep state, in Sushupti. Because it's not with you in the deep sleep state, they are separate from you. They are not with you all the time. The one that is with you all the time is this anubhavam of awareness, consciousness. That is what it is. So, kevala anubhavam, what we call it as. So that is what it is here. Aham kevala anubhava anandam, what is used in the prayers of Vasudev and Devaki and Shukam Brahmarshi. And there are many places in the Bhagavatam. If you carefully look, you will see. You should read the glorifications of the devotees. They are using this word kevala anubhava. They give importance to anubhavam, not to pratiti. Pratiti has no meaning. Pratiti is all separate from me. Pratiti is happening because of the mind and the senses. So that is the way it is to be seen. So that such a person, only that will happen. Why this anubhavam is not all the time existing? Because of the coverage, avaranam, tamogunam. So when the avaranam goes away, then it is direct experience of that anubhava, isn't it? And that is why in Upanishads they use the word niravarana drishti. Niravarana drishti means one whose avaranam has gone. One in whom the avaranam, or coverage, has gone. And that niravaranam means removal of the coverage, removal of avaranam, does not happen to the body. Does not happen to the mind, does not even happen to the jiva inside. That happens to the prajna inside, pure consciousness. That niravaranam, or removal of that coverage, tamogunam, which is covering the prajna, that happens not for the body, not for the mind, not for the intelligence, not even for the ego, it happens for the prajna. That is the pure and clear understanding of the situation inside. When realization comes, self-realization comes, just like in the deep sleep state, we know very well, body is not there, mind is not there, intelligence is not there, ego is not there. Then you can ask the question, why am I not experiencing that pure consciousness? I am experiencing the bliss of the Atma. But that pure consciousness I am, only the bliss is there, nothing else, isn't it? Why am I not experiencing that I am that, I am that, I am Chidananda Rupam? That is, why I am not experiencing is that prajna consciousness is covered by tamogunam. Avaranam it is called. And when that tamogunam goes away, it becomes niravarana drishti. That means in deep sleep state, you are conscious of the self as you are conscious yourself as the Atma, pure. That is not happening because of the presence of this tamoguna. So, when this avaranam goes away, it does not have anything to do with the body, mind, intelligence or ego. It's only happening to the prajna or consciousness inside. So in order that, this one important point, that when you come to that state, that it is pure prajna inside, you will realize in that prajna or pure consciousness is my pure identity. And in that pure identity, this is like a bubble. Which one? The mind is a bubble, the intelligence is a bubble, the ego is a bubble, and the body is a bubble. And all this bubble will burst one day and go. And that is it, finished. And that pure prajna inside, that is Krishna's manifestation. Krishna's manifestation inside. And to get this established inside, the purpose, that is the goal of satsangam. Satsangam is to get this situation always established within us. So, not to talk about anything else. This is the purpose of all that. But you can talk about many other things, but it will not help us very much. Again and again, we have to talk about this truth. What is our identity is. Shravanam, hearing, mananam, contemplation, vidhyasanam, that continuous establishment of the truth, and all for this purpose only. And now we are hearing this. What is mananam? Mananam is not just thinking about that. Little bit of thoughts, you can utilize it. And the thoughts are also helpful. But shariram, or body, is continuously changing, isn't it? Mind is changing. The body which I had when I was a child doesn't exist anymore. And the mind which I had when I was a child doesn't exist anymore. And it is continuously changing. But behind all these things, always to be conscious that my awareness of my existence as aham asmi, that aham awareness has not changed. As a child I had the same awareness. Today, at this age also, I have the same awareness. And that awareness is not changing. Awareness is not changing. Everything else is changing, is it not? Body is changing, mind is changing, intelligence is changing, ego is changing. All of them changing. Awareness has not changed. Krishna pointed out in the second chapter itself. Therefore, only awareness is sat, everything else is asat. Nasado vidyade bhavo, nabhavo vidyade. It's the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Whole Bhagavad Gita's philosophy is centered around that verse. If you got that verse right, then you have understood Bhagavad Gita. Whole Bhagavad Gita's powerful philosophy is based on that verse. Nasado vidyade bhavo, nabhavo vidyade sada. Krishna is saying this, ubhayorami drishtvandam stanayor tattvadarshivi. Tattvadarshis who have realized the truth, they have spoken in this way. This is how Krishna starts Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So it is the same thing here also. You have to keep on analyzing it and get ourselves very clear in what Krishna is saying and completely accept it. There is no other way. This acceptance is the most difficult thing. We will hear all these things through the mind and brain and then we'll go. That's finished. What's the use? That acceptance is important. Acceptance when Krishna is saying there, that is that vyavsayalpiya buddhi is all about. That accepting what Krishna, we can see Krishna is giving us a clear proof to us. Three states, that is why Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states were spoken. So when you come to the third state in Sushupti, you can see how this body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is nothing but a changing pattern. It has no permanent existence. Body has no permanent existence. Mind neither, intelligence no, neither the ego. They all are continuously changing. But when all these changes are going on, that prajna inside never changes. Childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, all the time he never changes. Krishna is saying he is sat. Everything else is asat. So, very beginning itself, Krishna gave importance to this prajna, to this awareness inside consciousness, isn't it? So that experience, I am awareness, that doesn't change, and that experience I have, this we have to continuously analyze it within ourselves. Whenever we get affected by the body, affected by the mind, affected by the emotions, various forces in the nature, when it attacks us in different ways, all the time these thoughts should come back to us, Krishna's words. So you can just like the plane which runs on the runway. On the runway it keeps running, isn't it? Where is the real takeoff of the plane? The real takeoff is when you throw away all other things, then you have taken off. Till you taking off from the runway, You have all this body, mind, intelligence, all. What you are actually doing is, when you are running on the runway, you are throwing away all these things, what you are not. And finally it takes off from like that. And that is when you come to your pure identity as Prajna. Prajnanam Brahmam. That is that last Upanishad sentence. Prajnanam Brahmam. We saw how from the beginning that Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, Prajnanam Brahmam. That is the next stage. So here in the Bhagavatam, if you look in the 10th canto, you will see when Brahma was glorifying Krishna, he mentions that. You may have not taken notice of it. In the 10th canto, you will see in the, I think Brahma Stuti is 14th chapter. In the 14th chapter, there is a verse which says, it is Brahma's prayers to Krishna. It's 28, verse 28 in the 14th chapter. Andarbhave anandabhavandameva adatyajando mragayandi sandaha asandam apyandyahim andarena sandam gunandam kimuyandi sandaha. That is that verse. Andarbhave anandabhavandameva adatyajando mragayandi sandaha asandam apyandyahim andarena sandam gunandam kimuyandi sandaha. Brahma is saying to Krishna that this, who are you standing in front of me? Who is inside me as the Alpha inside, isn't it? Andarbhave anandam bhavandam evam adatyajando mrgayandi sandaha asandam apyandyahim andarenam sandam gunam tam kimuyandi sandaha. It is a statement from Brahma. He says to him that adatnadatra jando mrgayandi sandaha, that what I am not, I have to keep it away. That is a spiritual life. Spiritual life is that. Coming to me, my who I am actually, isn't it? To my own identity. Which means what? I have to throw away everything what I am not. I can't be in my identity if I want to hold on to everything. This is the problem, isn't it? That when we come to spiritual life, we have to know what we are not. And we have to throw them away, those things what we are not. So that is where that mananam begins. After Shravanam, mananam process is this, that everything what I am not, I have to come out of it. I cannot keep them with me. It will be foolish for me to keep things what I am not. When I say I can't keep them with me, means I can't identify with them. At the moment I am identifying with all these things, body, mind, intelligence, ego, I am identifying with all. Only thing is, identification with the ego is too subtle. Identification with the body itself is subtle. Subtle than the identification body is the identification with the mind. Subtler than the identification with the mind is the identification with the intelligence. Subtler than the identification with intelligence is the identification with the ego. But ultimately they are all identifications. None of them is me. So in other words, one after the other, I have to pluck them and throw it out. Body out, mind out, intelligence out, and finally ego out. When all the four has gone, then I have come to my real identity, who I am. That is when you experience that. That's tatnatatra jando mrgayandi sandaha. It says like that, isn't it? So at that point, only when you have thrown away these things, the Shraddha will fall on me properly, who I am. That Shraddha will fall. And that is that Kevalana Bhavananda Sarupam. What Vasudeva says there in the prayers. Kevalana Bhavananda Sarupam. And at that time, all Vigalpam has gone. Vigalpam was created by who? By the body, mind, intelligence and ego. They bring Vigalpam to make ourselves identify with them. That's what Vigalpam does. So when other Vigalpam does not come, when they don't come, and when they don't agitate my pure consciousness, then that is Samadhi state. If they are not coming and agitate my pure consciousness, that is Samadhi state. That is Samadhi state. So at that time, that will. So in the Brahma Stuti, you can see Brahma mentions this. It is after saying that he says to Krishna, अथाभिदे देवपदाम्बुजद्वयं प्रसादलेश अनुगृहीतमेव हि जानामि न त्वं. इफ यू लुक एट दैट वर्स यू विल सी नेक्स्ट वर्स ही सेज अथ अनलेस आई टेक शेल्टर ऑफ यू हाउ विल दिस हैपन. अथाभिदे देवपदाम्बुजद्वयं प्रसादलेश अनुगृहीतमेव हि जानामि तत्त्वं भगवान् विचिन्वन् न चान्यमेकोऽपि चिरं विचिन्वन्. जानामि तत्त्वं भगवान् महिम्नो न चान्यमेकोऽपि चिरं विचिन्वन्. सो यू कैन इफ यू स्टडी ब्रह्मस्तुति वेरी वेल यू विल गेट अ वेरी गुड एक्सपीरियंस ऑफ ज्ञानम एंड भक्ति बिकॉज इट ईज अ वेरी गुड ब्लेंड ऑफ बोथ इन द ब्रह्मस्तुति. ब्रह्मस्तुति दैट इज वाई इट इज सो फेमस. Brahma, you remember that after the Garbhastuti, in Garbhastuti, Brahma made some flaw, mistakes. Krishna didn't like it very much. It looks like that when you read the Stuti, you get that impression. But then here, in this time, Brahma didn't make any mistake. Did it very well, straight on to the truth. He spoke. And he made this jnanam and bhakti in such a nice way. He has blend them in these famous verses of Brahmastuti. That's why if you study Brahmastuti very well, you will get a good insight into the relationship, Brahma's relationship with Krishna. How Brahma sees Krishna. So many fantastic verses in there. And finally, after saying all that, he says to Krishna, Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. नंदगोप व्रजौगसम यन्मित्रम परमानंदम पूर्णम ब्रह्म सनातनम. He says to Krishna that you are that पूर्णम ब्रह्मम who have come. How fortunate are these people who are in the Gokulam, that Nandagopa's, Nandamaharaj's people, यन्मित्रम परमानंदम पूर्णम ब्रह्म सनातनम. All those verses is all about that. जानंदम एव जानंदु किं बहुप्या नमे प्रभो. He says, what is the point in saying anything further? He says, those who want to understand, let them understand. Janandam eva janandu. Kim bahutyanamaya prabho. Manaso, vapusho, vacho, vaibhavam tava gocharya. Who can glorify you properly? Nobody. Nobody. Ultimately, nobody can glorify Krishna. Nobody can glorify Krishna. Krishna's position is such that. That is why, in one of the prayers, Ajari Swamiji says to Krishna, I made a big blunder in my life. I tried to glorify you, he says. This is my own mistake, he says. Three things he says. One, I have tried to see you only in that form here, in Gokulam or Vrindavanam. But can I limit you to one form? One who accept you, what else exists in this creation? He says to Krishna. So my first offense to you was that I started saying to everyone that you are only in this form, nowhere else. That's my mistake, he said. Second thing, I try to glorify you. That itself is a mistake, he is saying. Because what am I? What capacity have I got to glorify you? He is saying. That's another thing. And third mistake, he says, I glorified your holy places, saying that you are present in all these places. So people get the impression that you are not present anywhere else. That is my next mistake, he says. So these three things he points out to Krishna and says, apologizing to him for that. So that is how it is. Prabhanjam, lot of nice verses, and that is Brahmastuti. Anyway, coming back to that, so Brahmastuti is an important part of that, and you can see that it how it has come to this state. So. So this nirvikalpam, that is what we are talking about. There is no vikalpam coming from either through the body or through the mind. When I say through the body, I mean centered around the body, centered around the mind, centered around the intelligence, centered around the ego. No vikalpam, thought waves are coming. And that state is called nirvikalpam, nirvikalpa samadhi state. And that is in the yoga process, yoga margam, it exists. And it is also in the Jnana Margam. This Nirvikalpa Samadhi is spoken in the Yoga Margam as well as in the Jnana Margam. So, this Nirvikalpa Samadhi, what is spoken in the Yoga Margam, is called Nirvikalpa Yogam. Nirvikalpam, Yogam. So when it comes to Jnanamargam, it is not Nirvikalpa Yogam, it is Nirvikalpa Bodham. There are two different things. You have to understand that difference. In Nirvikalpa Yogam and Nirvikalpa Bodham, Bodham means permanent. Yogam means you can fall from that. So in Yogam, that is why you go into yoga state and you can come back from that. Whereas in your Bodham, once you have touched Bodham, your consciousness, then you are that. Then you can't come back from that again. So Bodham, so this Bodham is on a higher level than the Yoga state. Because Bodham comes when Acharya or the spiritual master, the Guru, has spoken to you from that realized state and you are fully ready for it, like in the case of Parikshit. That first of all, the disciple has to reach that state. Ready. This is like they say, the example is like the dry grass. A spark, if it falls on that, the whole thing will catch fire. Isn't it? Similarly, when we have reached that state, pure state, fully dry grass state, in other words, as soon as a realized soul speaks to us the truth, it will catch fire inside. And it will immediately, it becomes my realization. His realization will become my realization. But he has to be realized, I should be ready. This is the two things. He has to be realized, I should be ready. Only then it will happen. Otherwise it won't happen. On the spot it will happen. They give the example like the dry grass and the fire. The dry grass and fire. So Jnana Margam is that Abhyasam. So this Bodham, awareness, it gets covered by the different vigalpams inside, isn't it? Just like, suppose you have a lamp burning, and around that lamp, you have a glass, for example, and this glass has got different panels of different colors, red, green, blue, yellow, like that. So many colors, panels all around the glass. If it is like that, and if you move that, you will see you are getting different lights from that, isn't it? Sometimes red light, sometimes green light, depending on the way you are moving that. But actually, the light that is coming from inside has no color. It is the same light. But when it comes through the glass, it picks up that color and it comes out in that way. So glass makes that color, isn't it? Similarly, this pure consciousness inside, chit inside, it doesn't have any color. It doesn't have any color. But because we engage in Vyavaharam in this world, or even if you stay quietly here, that same chit, it comes out in the form of lust, anger, greed, envy, good person, bad person, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all these things, it will keep on coming out in different ways through us, when it comes out through us. And that is unavoidable. That is unavoidable. That will always happen like that. So, but here, that is... do you want to reveal the tsunami? No. So, there it mentions about... So, you will see there that the... it's spoken about this. How the pure consciousness inside, when he is not affected by the changes that is happening in the chit, in the external world. Like ahankaram, false ego and other things, that will give the color to it. Our chit shakti inside, when it comes out, it gets colored by all our emotions, anger, lust, greed. And that is what, that... Brahman's power, Brahman is the source behind it, but when it comes out in that way, it gets us affected. So here, this experience of me, that I am, that awareness, if I am able to maintain it as pure consciousness, then this coloring process of the light will not affect us. That is why it is necessary to do that. You see, that when it gets affected by the light for the glass, the color changes of the light, isn't it? Similarly, all these emotions that's coming, these are like the panels of glass around the chit. So if I do not allow that, if I don't keep these glasses all around, then my pure consciousness will manifest in its pure form. So the way to stop that panels appearing, the different colors, is that when every emotion comes, we have to ask this question, that who is having these emotions? Who is having these emotions? It's happening to me. And who am I then? So what is my nature? And in this way, always go back to the aham vritti. So when this aham vritti, when it gets freed from all other vritti, vritti means thought waves. Aham vritti is also a thought wave. So when aham vritti gets released from all other thought waves, it will go back to the source where the aham vritti is coming from. Aham vritti is coming from that point, hrit, what Krishna refers to as hrit. And it will go back to that same place and it will have to dissolve there. It will have to dissolve there. Though I am kudo bhavati chinyatam, that is where aham vritti goes and dissolves. That aham vritti, that nature is like that. So there you will see, when it dissolves, what remains there is pure consciousness or awareness. So this ahangaram, false ego, is a limited thing. Alpa bhodam. Alpa means it's very limited, it is consciousness. Which means vikti bhodam, personality, in other words. That when that personality disappears, what you can see is, when you are fully in your awareness or in your consciousness, vacant state, that bodha spurti, it is called, in Shastram they use the word spurti. Spurti means, it keeps coming out from inside. Spurana. Spurana means, it comes out from inside, it shows its presence there. In the form, like a light, if it comes through a hole, it's a spurti. Similarly, this Atma inside, it comes out in the form of spurti. Atma srotasya. And you can see this, the word they use is Atma srotasya. Srotasya means, so these are words which are specifically refers to, in Shastram, to the Atma's presence inside. So Atma srotasya means a continuous flow from inside of the presence of Krishna's presence inside, making us conscious of it all the time. That awareness coming from inside. So, in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see here, then Kapila Maharshi spoke to Devahuti Devi. Close that. Close that. So, So, if you look into Kapila Maharshi's instructions to Devahuti Devi, you will see a beautiful verse. Kapila Maharshi says this to Devahuti. She says there, last chapter of the third canto. Devahuti has been, this is the same what happened to Parikshit and Shukabrahmarshi. Same thing happened to Kapila Maharshi and Devahuti. You know that. That Devahuti, this is how spiritual life is. That a right acharya, the right state, there Krishna is the acharya, instructing a disciple like Devahuti. Devahuti had performed everything very well, isn't it? Pleased Kapila Maharshi, Kadama Prajapati, with her austerities and finances. How she pleased him, which is all there in the third canto if you read. So here you can see in this last chapter. So from chapter 25 to 33 is called Kapila. These 8 chapters is a philosophy of its own, where Kapila Maharshi instructs Devahuti Devi, Sanghi philosophy, isn't it? And then Sankhyam, finally, after everything was spoken, Devahuti Devi is going to leave home and go to the forest and give up her body. That means that so strong she was at that time. Tam tuamaham, eighth verse. Tam tuamaham, brahmaparam pumam sam, pratyaksrodasyalmani samvibhavyam, sotejasa dvastaguna pravaham, vande vishnum kabilam vedagarbham. That verse, that is what it is talking about. He says, sotejasa dvasta guna pravaham. Guna pravaham means what? The three modes of material nature. Guna pravaham, the flow of the three modes of material nature. And what is his state? Sotejasa dvastam. By his spiritual potency, he is completely untouched by the three modes of material nature. And that person, vande vishnum kabilam vedagarbham. That Vishnu, Kavila Maharshi, I pay my obeisances to him, says Devahuti Devi. Son, saying to the son, mother is saying this. What did he say before that? Tam tuamaham brahmabaram pumamsam pratyaksrodas yalmani samvibhavyam. Pratyaksrodas, that's the word he has, Devahuti Devi has used there. So Devahuti is saying that pratyaksrodas yalmani samvibhavyam, which means that, saying to Kamala Maharshi, that I am seeing you in this Alma Srotasa. Alma, that is coming out as a Srotasa, as a flow from inside. I am seeing you there, Kamala Maharshi. I am seeing you there. In other words, by now, what has happened now to Devahuti? Devahuti is not seeing Kamala Maharshi as a person anymore. Devahuti is not seeing Kapila Maharshi as her son anymore. Those two things have gone from inside. Simply seeing her, that he is my Andaryami inside. Atma Srodasa. That is what that verse is saying.
Say that.
Pratyak Srodas Yalmani Tumvi Bhav Samvivadhyam. That realization, Devahuti's realization. It's the same thing Parishit also realizing. In the same way. That aham brahma param dhamam brahmaham paramam padam evam samichan almanam almanya. Alma, that state has come to them. Purely in the state of Alma. No more body. Sugar Brahmashi is not anymore Sugar Brahmashi for him. It is Alma, pure soul, pure consciousness. He himself is pure consciousness. Sugar Brahmashi is also pure consciousness in that way. So, if you have not reached that state, you cannot say like this, what Devahuti has said to Kapila Maharshi. It's pratyaksrodha salpani samvibhavyam, he says. It has happened to her. Pratyaksrodha salpani samvibhavyam. Pratyak means, you know what it means. Pratyak means who is inside. It is there in the Kathopanishad, you can see that word coming. Pratyak, pratyak, everywhere. Pratyaksrodhasa. Srodhasa means this continuous flow of the pratyak, pratyak inside, continuously flowing out. Almani, alma is flowing and that is you. Say, in other words, Devahuti is now seeing Kapila Maharshi not anymore as her son or as a person, but instead seeing him purely as that alma inside form in the outside. It's outside. So she's saying to him that I now realize that this Alma inside has come in this form now and given me these instructions. This is the way it has happened. Devahuti is saying to Kapila Maharshi that Alma inside has come out now in the form of Kapila and is instructing me. This is very higher realization. Is it not? If you think about it. Very high realization, that is Andaryami. And that tallies with what Krishna says in that verse. Which one? Almano Guru Alma Iva Purushasya Visheshada. Pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. That verse. So, andaram bahischa idimidam pradiksham. So that is why Brahma is also saying there, this center, if you look into that Brahma's prayers also, you will see the same thing. Brahma is also saying This is where you will find the agreement in spiritual realizations among the great personalities. When you read their confirmation, when they talk to Krishna, they're all same. They're all talking the same truth. Then only when you understand that, you can see that spiritual life has a proper way of understanding things. It's not based on the body. It has to be based on the spirit, Atma inside. Based on the body, you can't bring this understanding. It is not possible. It's not possible. You can see there also in the in that prayers, also Brahma's prayers also, you will see similar statements. Antar bhave nandam anandam evam atanti jando mrigayanti sandaha. Antarbhavenandabhavandamevam hadatyajandom ragayandisandaha asandamapyandahim andarena sandam gunandam kimuyandisandaha. So, Brahma is saying, inside, outside, everywhere, you are present in one way or the other. So, this center inside, that Chit-Shakti, where the Chit-Shakti coming, so, experiencing the Chit Shakti with the Chit Shakti. Experiencing the Chit with the Chit. In other words, without any interruptions from the mind, if you are able to experience that presence of Krishna inside, that is self-realization. Self-realization. Here, it is not through the mind. In other words, bodham, awareness, you are experiencing with awareness. So bhode na anya upanishat. So bhode na anya bhodescha. Bodha rupadayam atmana. Na dibasya anya dibescha. Yatha swalma prakashane. A beautiful explanation to that in the Upanishad. How Upanishad puts it is like this. So bhode na anya bhodescha. Means, with your own awareness, you become that awareness. You taste or experience that awareness. With your own awareness. So bhode na anya bhodescha. For example, why it is said like that is, see, there is awareness in us, isn't it? Because I have got my awareness, I am aware of existing of so many other things in this world. Why? Because I have awareness in me. That awareness is Krishna. Because Krishna is inside me, I have got awareness. Because awareness is in me, I am aware of all other existence of so many other people, other objects, everything of the world, of the planets, everything. All existence is because this awareness is in me. And that, so bhode na anya bhodescha. But this awareness itself is me. Is me. This awareness itself is me. So bhode na anya. And to know this awareness, I don't need anything else from outside. Is it not? So bhode na anya. If I want to know anything, say for example, the photograph, the door or the mic or the computer, if I want to know, my awareness has to be there. Otherwise, I won't know their presence. But this awareness in me, to know that, I don't need any other awareness from outside. Because I am that awareness. That's what it is. So you can see the difference. So bhode na anya bhodescha. Bodha rupade atmana. And I am always in that awareness form I am existing. I am existing in that awareness form. That is my form. Awareness is my form. You may think all this is looking very difficult, isn't it? Because we only know the body, nothing else. You can't blame the Shastram for that. We got stuck in this body and we have maintained this body, looked after the body and identified with the body so strongly. When another way it is spoken, we find it difficult to move away from the body. That is our problem. That is not the fault of the Shastram. Shastram is saying to us, Shastra, for Shastram, this body has no meaning. It has no meaning. It is a asat, it is in the Prakriti. That's how Shastram sees the body. Whereas we are always in the Prakriti and we are always in the body. For us, Shastram is an unknown thing. What can we do? That's nothing we can do about it. But unless you escape from all these things, it's not possible to become any realization. No realization will come. It will all remain story only. Just remains a story. So this one verse, if you understand from Upanishad, so bhode na anya bhodescha. You need bodham, awareness in me, to know the existence of everything else. See how the rishi's thinking goes. They think completely different than us. They are saying, so bhode na anya bhodescha. Anya bhodham is necessary. Why? Not necessary. Why? Bodha rubhadai atmana. Atma is in the form of bodham. Awareness, it is present there. And they give the example, na divasya anya divascha. Yatha swalma prakashane. Suppose there is one light is burning here, lamp is burning. I don't want to bring another lamp to see this lamp. Is it not? Similarly, why? Because sa deepasya anya deepascha. You don't need another lamp to show this lamp. Na deepasya anya deepascha. Yatha swalma prakashane. It is self-illumination. It has got. Similarly, this awareness is in me completely. I don't need anything else to. So, similarly, in order to know the bodham, awareness, you don't need another bodham for that because it is self-illuminating. And when that chit, when it gets illumination inside properly happens, in that chit, you will know that when you completely come to this state, in that chit itself, when you have completely disconnected from that chit, that means that if you are situated in that chit shakti, what you will see there is sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam are not present in the chit. That means once you become that awareness, pure consciousness, you will notice there that sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam doesn't exist in the chit. Doesn't exist in the chit. We can only talk about that through words now. This is a matter of experience. Anubhavam it is, isn't it? So that is what Krishna is saying here. So you can imagine when Arjuna asked that question, what is the situation of a person who has come out of the three modes of material nature? How can I come to that state? This was the question, isn't it? So the symptom Krishna is answering like this. He's saying that person who has reached that state, who has not anymore in the three modes of material nature, he is situated in the chit. And he will know that three modes of material nature don't exist in him. A clear separation has happened at that time. So, again, not falling back into sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Because that mixture of sattvagunam, they come in a mixture in everyone, isn't it? In all of us, these modes of nature are present in a mixture form, with two different variations. Some people have got a high degree of sattvagunam, some people have a high degree of rajogunam, some people have a high degree of tamogunam. So, this mananam, contemplation, nididhyasanam, all these things, what he is doing is that that in a way he is actually seeing that these three modes of nature does not come back again. But even this state, what Krishna mentions here, it will be very difficult with this knowledge also to come to that complete freedom from everything. But he will come to a stage that he may not have to accept another body. He may have to accept another body. But total liberation wouldn't happen still. So, but if this samskara or this culture, what Krishna has spoken, if it remains inside, but it will be a very powerful force that will operate even if you accept another material body, if it comes back. Because we don't know, two things you can't connect. There is a possibility that you may come out of it to some degree, but 10% you will not be released from these things. And even with your knowledge also, it may not happen. But what will happen is, even if you have to come back in another body, this powerful vasana that is inside, its spurti will happen. Spurti means it will keep coming out again and again in life, and it will start expanding. And therefore, while situated within this body itself, the complete happiness of that self-realization or fully liberated state, that firm dhridajnanam, adhridajnanam, that may not happen immediately. Even if you have got that means that you can see there that even if you receive that state consciousness here, and you have seen the truth, still Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Vasishtam, Upanishads, anything you can look at it, you can see here that full release does not happen straight away. Full release does not happen straight away. Because only thing is, if this samskaram or vasana has developed very strongly inside, as soon as you read Upanishads, read Vasishtam, or Bhagavad Gita, immediately you will understand what it is spoken about. But even if you have understood, there will be still possibility of getting a flirting with the samsara, flirting with the material nature. If you want to stop that, and if you want to have that perfection in life, it will be very, very difficult, because that truth what you have found out, Shrotriyam akamanaha, Brahman uparadaha, and similarly so many things are spoken about that. Because Brahman is not something you know by mind and intelligence. And in Brahman you have to be like this, you have to become Brahman. You have to become Brahman. And that Shruti and Vedam talks about it. And you have to offer yourself completely. Because what happens is, in spite of all these realizations, still there is some degree of false ego inside that won't leave you easily. As soon as you come back to the vacant state, in the dream state also, some degree, trace of false ego can come back with us. It doesn't leave us straight away. When does that happen? This will only happen when the whole false ego is completely offered in the fire of knowledge. In the fire of knowledge. That means it is a pretty very late state that this will happen. So, there is Upanishad called Mahanarayana Upanishad. In there it discusses about that. So, and at that time, when you have completely offered yourself and no attachment anywhere, all vasanas are burned out inside and perfect peace inside, and while situated within this body itself, shanti, vasanakshayam, and full experience of that liberated state, and there is no personality anymore, that personality also completely goes away, then he will not have to have the fear of death or any of the body. Because this state that you don't have a body, that state you have to get back, that I don't have a body. Not what we see with the eye, in consciousness, I don't have a body. At the moment in consciousness, I have a body. It's registered there very strongly, isn't it? So that registration has to go from inside. And if that state comes, that means that state of existence where you have no body. Bodiless existence, in other words. Bodiless existence. For outside, its body is there. But for you, there is no body. Only if that happens, then you can say that Bhagavadam, Vedantam, Upanishads, everything has come to its perfection in us. And that that is what Krishna calls it as sannyasam. Krishna calls that as sannyasam, finally. And purna sannyasa, sannyasa yogam, Vedantam, adhyatma jivitam, spiritual life has become perfect. Then here Krishna is saying there that in order to come to this understanding itself, that there is a state like that, and that state of existence without having a material body around us, these things, to hear that itself is takes a long time in one's life to come to hear about this. So all these are, when you hear all these things, one will start thinking, is it possible to have all these things happen? That is our situation, isn't it? When we hear some of the spiritual truths, what's spoken by the realized soul, you lose hope, is it not? You start thinking that what hope have we got, is it not? That thoughts will come. But Vidyarani Swamiji mentions this. He says there in the Panchadashi, he talks about that. He says, in order to come to get to hear about all these things itself, he says it takes a long time in life. That there is an existence like this, free from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence and ego. That is why in the Kathopanishad you will know that verse. That is why Kathopanishad says, Shravanayabhi Bahivir Noya Labhyaha. There is a statement like that, isn't it? It is there in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada has quoted that verse also. When you read, can I have the Bhagavad Gita? It is in there. It's the second chapter. Prabhupada has quoted that verse. You have to look at that verse a little carefully. Only then you will understand the importance of that verse. In Kathopanishad, they have spoken. But we think that it is straightforward.
29 Ashayo vakta kushalosya labdha. Ashayo jnada kushalanushishta.
This happens at that stage. At that stage, that he says here, that the sharanayavi bahubir nona labdha, shrunandobi bahubo yona vidyu. So, you are hearing all these things now. You are hearing all these things now. But, whether you have understood it or not doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It may not come to your experience level now. That's obviously, it is not going to happen. Even if you say this is all bogus and go away from here, doesn't matter. Because sometimes people will react like that, isn't it? It doesn't make any sense, they will say. So, but the fact is, if you have heard this, you are caught. You are stuck in that. You can't come out of it, because once this goes inside, it has its power to work from within. One day or the other, it will start waking up inside. That is the power of this Upanishad's verses, particularly Kathopanishad. And you can see how it is presented there. Shravanayavi bihubir nona labhyaha. You can hear a lot. Doesn't matter, he says. You hear, that's the most important thing. And it will go inside, it will remain as a vasana inside. And that vasana, when it has the favorable situation, it will start sprouting inside. It will happen. That is how it has happened to everybody. It didn't happen any other way. First you have to hear this absolute truth what spoken in the Upanishads. They are about the reality of the soul, our identity as the soul. All these things are, we don't normally hear. Nobody tells us these things, isn't it? So, once it goes inside, it will start waking up. And when it starts waking up, when does it start waking up? It starts waking up when certain situations happen. Just like when the field is ready, if the seed is there, it will sprout. This is like the seed. That verse is like a seed. The field will be ready, just like a farmer, they plows the land and prepares the field. We have to prepare the field. When our field is ready, at that time, what has gone inside, little by little, it will start sprouting from inside. If not in this life, next life, or in the life after, it will create this desire for liberation from inside. And it will start disturbing you at that time. When this desire comes, you see, if there is no desire for liberation, there is no problem, isn't it? We can just live in this world like the way we are living now, identifying with the body, trying to enjoy the senses, and one day die like an animal and go from here. But if a little bit of thoughts comes in and starts saying that there is some truth in all these things, that faith, that shraddha, that comes at some point in time, when it comes, that it becomes start sprouting, and that is when your inquiry begins serious about spiritual life. What's liberation? How do I get out of this situation, this misery? And a lot of preparation is necessary prior to that happening. A lot of distress in life. To observe a lot of distress in this world. All this is factors that influence that decision. Seeing a lot of distress in this world, knowing that this place cannot be a permanent place for residence, material life or world. Similarly, your own experience of miseries of this life with the body, with respect to the body, mind, intelligence, everything in every, your own suffering, all these are factors that will influence that decision. When it all happens, that is why it mentions that Kunti Devi, she said to Krishna, give me distress, she said, isn't it? Why? Because she knows this fact, that when there is distress, it makes that spiritual growth inside. It develops spiritual growth inside. Otherwise, nobody thinks about spiritual. You can't have a big party and have a spiritual life with that. That doesn't work like that. What happens is, when you go through the life, you become more thoughtful. You become more conscious of the problems of this world, birth, death, old age, disease, and all other Adhyatmika, Madhibhavadi, Madhidevi problems of this world, they are all factors that creates this Bumukshatvam inside, liberation inside, desire for liberation. And when that tree starts growing inside for liberation, your desire for the world and the worldly activities goes away. Vairagyam develops inside. Vairagyam is one factor for that. So, once it has planted that seed of Bumukshatvam, Mukshatva means the desire for liberation from here, then it starts disturbing you inside. You don't find any taste for material life anymore. No attraction for anything. Everything becomes a bore altogether. Or less interesting. People try to pull you back into their life, way of life, but you find that it's all hollow. It's all empty. Isn't it? So, once it has been established, it says here, it will only leave you after it gets you released from this state. Only after that seed will leave you. That is what in the Bhagavadam he said, Vartam Sage Kirtaya Tirtha Kirte. If you look into the third canto, you will see this. Who says this? No, it is in the first chapter, Vidura or Uddhava, in their conversation you will see. Vartam Sakhe Kirtaya Kirtha Kirtha 3-1, I think. Yes, 3-1. Last verse, I think it is. First chapter, last verse. Mm-hmm.
tasya prabanna akhila lokapanam avasthitanam anushasane sve arthaya jadasya dushvajasya vartham sakhe kirtaya tirtha kirthe. This vartham sakhe kirtaya tirtha kirthe is a beautiful way of putting out this what I have just mentioned. Vartham sakhe kirtaya kirtaya tirtha kirthe. What does that mean? It means this, that Varta means news. News. News is called Varta. Varta is a means news. All India Radio's news or BBC's news is called Varta. Varta. So, Vartam sage kirthe tirtha kirthe. That newspaper gives you Varta, isn't it? Varta. So, Varta is a Shastric word for Brahmavidya. But what has happened is that Varta newspaper, they say there is Varta. Varta, it says in the newspaper, it will say Varta. All Indian newspapers, if you look, you will see Varta, it's mentioned. Actually, Varta means Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya is Varta. So what is happening is that Jiva, conditioned soul, or us in our conditioned form as Jiva, we are always thinking that, oh, I am in trouble, I am in suffering, I am in this situation, that situation. That Jiva, when it gets this message of Atma, what happens at that time is, he realizes that this is not my real identity. Which one? This conditioned state. Conditioned state means like a slave. I have to salute so many people in this world to live here. Is it not? That to the boss, or to the wife, or to the husband, or whatever. It is so, under so many people's influence, you got to surrender to so many things. And this existence is my real existence. This is that Varta. Shastram is telling us that mumukshatvam or liberation is that message which is telling us this is not your real identity. You don't have to be like this. That is why when this Varta comes, which means Brahmavidya comes to us, when it comes to us, in all fields, we become completely independent. Completely independent. That is what is called Varta. That is what is called Varta. That is why he uses that word Vartam Sakhe Tirthaya Kirthaya Tirtha Kirthe. He says like that. Is it not? Vartam Sakhe. Look at that verse. Vartam Sakhe Kirthaya Tirtha Kirthe. He says. This is the conversation between Vidura and Shobhana. She mentions there that after, if you look into the first chapter, you will see that Vidura leaving home, Vidura leaving the palace when the war broke out. And Duryodhana told Dhritarashtra, tie him down because he is our enemy. Mm-hmm. He is complaining against me, about me to you, and he is trying to put me into trouble. So what did Duryodhana do? Duryodhana said to everybody that get him, let him not escape, punch him, and in such a way that life should be left, but he should be finished. In such a way. And Vidura is younger brother, Dhritarashtra's younger brother. So when all these things happen, Vidura said, I will go. I don't want to stay here anymore. And he walked out from there, isn't it? And so this Uddhava, and that later on, after all the pilgrimage, he comes back. And in Vrindavanam, he meets Uddhava. Tatra Uddhavam Bhagavadam Dadrasya. You'll see in the 24th verse. They are meeting up with each other, Uddhava and Vidura. And at that time, Vidura is inquiring about the welfare of all the Krishna and Krishna's family, Balram and Kudidevi and others. At that time, he talked about all that, and he said, Tasya prabanna akhila lokapanam avasthitanam anushasane sve arthaya jadasya dushvajasya Vartam sake kirtaya tirthagirte. Then what he's saying is that arthaya jadase dushrajasyam, that finally, after talking about everybody, he says like this, that Krishna has left this world, but he spoke in such a way that instructed me on the Brahma Vidya. Who? Krishna has instructed me on the Brahma Vidya. That vartha, that news was given to me, kirtaya tirtha kirte. And Vidura hears all that, and Vidura looks at Uddhava at that time and see that big change in Uddhava. That you can see, pulagodbhinna sarvangam unjan leela dushadrushuja purnartho lakshidasteta sneha prasara sampluda. The change in Uddhava after hearing this vartha. Vartham sake kirtaya tirtha kirte. So, spiritual realization is a vartha. It's a news. Which one? This Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya means this, that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. Not just words, I'm not the intelligence, I'm not the ego. But this whole process of self-realization is the news. Is the news. And that is the news Bhagavatam is bringing to us. The whole process of self-realization, isn't it? Through personalities, different personalities, through direct instructions, through glorifications, in various ways, the message is getting to us. The message has to get to us. What is the message? Message is this, that I have misunderstood, wrongly identified with so many things, body, mind, intelligence, ego. None of them is me. None of them is me. My identity is something beyond all this, and I am always independent. I'm not dependent on anyone for anything under any circumstances. Nobody can tie me down. At the moment, I'm tied down with various things, isn't it? In your bodily identity, tied down to the family, to the country. And the country says, tomorrow you go and fight the war, you have to go. Family members demand so many things. Then your own body is demanding various things. From everywhere you are bound, there is no freedom anywhere. But this bonded state is not our real state. That is that vartha. Vartham sage kirtaya tirtha kirte. That I got this from Krishna, Uddhava is saying to Vidura. I got this from Krishna. When finally Ekadasha Skandam was spoken, this is what he got. Uddhava understood that I am not meant to be like this, in this body, always under the control of someone or the other, everyone dictating to me, do this or that. And do I have to be like this? And I consider this as the proper anything for that matter, including the institution. I'm not bound by that. That is freedom. That is freedom. That is what he's saying here. And because Brahma Vidya is that Vidya, what he is talking about. Vartham sage kirtaya tirthagate. And once it goes inside, what will happen? This tirtha goes inside. El karma nadim. In the same fifth chapter you will see Chinati. It breaks through that Karna Nadi, goes into the heart, to the hrit place. And it goes into the ears first and from the ear directly into the heart. Through that Karna Nadi, which is blocked at the moment. It's also called Amrita Nadi. That Nadi is blocked very strongly through the Tamogunam inside. But it gets broken and Amrita Nadi gets and the flow happens directly to the hrit. Now when we hear something, it goes into the mind, it goes into the brain, it goes everywhere else except there. Is it not? That's our direct experience now. But when this happens, then Uddhava says there that Karna Nadi, straight away Karna Nadi breaks open and it goes inside. And it is at that time it removes that ajnanam or ignorance from inside. Ajnanam or ignorance from inside. So it's 4 o'clock now.
ఆనందాంబులివర్ధనం సర్వాత్మాశ్రవణం పరం విజయతే శ్రీకృష్ణ సంకీర్తనం నామగారి బహుదా నిజ సర్వశక్తి త
तत्रार्पितानेमिदास्मरणेन कालाम् एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवान् ममाभि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणरभीषु नीचेन हरोरभी सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीयः सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कविदां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदात् भक्तिरहैदुवित्वये अयि नन्दननुज किङ्करं पतितामांशमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदूले सदृशं विचिन्तयाम् नयनं गलदश्रुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा स्फुलगैर्निजितं कदा वभु तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगल् सर्वं गोविन्दग्रहे नमे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां विनष्टुमाम् अदर्शनां मङ्गलं करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विदधातु लम्बनो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु नयेमनातया सो वी हैव इन दिस चैप्टर नाउ टू इम्पोर्टेंट वर्सेस लेफ्ट. Hopefully we will finish this chapter tomorrow, this 14th chapter, and we will start the 15th chapter. But prior to that, some introduction to those two verses, because they are important verses. Mamchayo vibhijarena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samadhitedan brahmabhuyaya kalpade brahmanohi pradishtaham अमृतस्य अव्ययस्य च शाश्वतस्य च धर्मस्य सुखस्य एकान्तिकस्य च बोथ् वर्सस् आर् वेरि वेरि टु इम्पार्टेण्ट् वर्सस् हौ यू केन् ट्रान्सेण्ड् द मोड्स् आफ् नेचर् आफ् कोर्स् दे आर् इम्पार्टेण्ट् एण्ड् आल्सो दे आल्सो वेरि सटल् वर्सस् एण्ड् स्पोकन् इन् सच् अ वे वंशयो अव्यभिचारेण भक्तियोगेन सेवते सगुणान् समधीतेदन् ब्रह्मभूयाय कल्पते ब्रह्मणो हि प्रतिष्ठाहम् अमृतस्य अव्ययस्य च शाश्वतस्य च धर्मस्य सुखस्यैकान्तिकस्य च टु वर्सेस् विल् कम् टु दट् लेटर् बट् वट् ऐ वास् सेयिङ्ग् बिफोर् वास् दट् सीड् आफ् लिबरेशन् विच् इस् अ बिग् थिङ्ग् इसन् इट् टुडे वि आर् थिङ्किङ्ग् लिबरेशन् मीन्स् वाट् we have some concept of liberation. Instead of living in a cottage in Lechwakit, going and staying in somewhere else in the same way. But only thing is, you don't have to pay the gas bill, electricity bill or anything, and plenty of prasadam to eat, and don't have to work. This is all our concept of liberation. Liberation is not all that. That has nothing to do. That is all because of the body, isn't it? All the problem. But most of the people's imagination goes like that. They think, and that is how they inquire about liberation itself. The way they inquire what liberation means for them is, what are the facilities available there in my liberated state? That is why they want to know what's happening in Golokam, what's happening in Vaikuntham, what's happening in Kailasam, all these places, we inquire after that. But strictly, if you can see, when you study Upanishads, you will see, it puts liberation to you in a different understanding. Conditioning and liberation, two states, bandham and moksham, what does that actually mean? Moksha means that you don't feel this dependency on anything, which is at the moment very strongly imbibed in us, isn't it? Surrender to so many things in so many ways, one has to. But freedom from all that. So this Brahma Vidya, what it does is that Vartha, what we mentioned about that, it is possible to exist completely independent from all conditioning. From all conditioning. That is the way liberation has to be seen at. And that is why in the Bhagavatam, we mentioned this before, that the when this Vartha means this this Vartha. Vartha means Brahma Vidya. Vartham sage tirthaya tirthaya tirtha girthe, he said. What is this Vartha? Vartha is Brahma Vidya. And this Brahma Vidya, when it goes in, what will happen is, when this Vartha gets into the ear, Kastrupriya Tirthapadho Bhidhanat Satreshuva Suri Biridhyavanat Yakarnanadim Purushasyayato Bhavapradam Geharadim Chinati. That's what it does. 11th verse. 3, 5, 11. Kastruptaya Tirthapadho Bhidhanat Satreshuva Suri Biridhyamanat Yakarnanadim Purushasyayato Bhavapradam Geharatim Chinati. Bhavapradam Geharatim Chinati. That is the Krishna. That means Krishna saying here that it goes into the ear first and it goes inside the ear so deeply it starts working and it removes that ignorance from inside. Tamogunam, Ajnanam, Avidya, which is in all the nadi, particularly this nadi, which is meant to go right into the heart, Hrithsthanam, that nadi which is blocked with tamogunam, that completely removes that from inside. And only, what does that mean now? When it removes the ajnanam means, that knowledge will only leave you after getting you liberated. After liberation only, it will stop. That's the beauty of this Brahma Vidya. So, you can see, when all these verses are connected, this is where the difficulty comes. You saw that Kathopanishad verse in that second chapter. Sharvanayavi bahuvir noya labhyaha shurnandobi vidyo bahuvir yona vidyo. That verse. That verse is saying to us, you can, whether you have understood or not understood, whether you have experienced or not experienced, even if you have heard it, you may not get it. You may not get it straight away. That's what it means. Straight away you may not get it. But once it goes inside, if you have heard it, it will start working from inside. It has worked for every one of us. That's why we are sitting here today. Otherwise we won't be here. There are millions of people in this world who are not interested in any way. You tell them about spiritual life, it won't get in. They find it is a completely bogus thing, the spiritual life. Millions like that, majority like that in this world, to tell the truth, isn't it? But so why did we get interested in spiritual life? That is what that is. Somewhere this message must have come in from somewhere and it started working from inside. And that is what Krishna is saying here also, that vartamsage kirte tirtha girte, that varta, that news, which is Brahma Vidya, once it goes inside, it will start working from within. And from then on, you will never be able to give it up. In spite of all problems in this world about maintaining the body, maintaining the family, inside you, it will be working. How do I get it? That thoughts will keep coming back again and again. Where will I get it? How will I find it? What should I do for that? This will never leave again. You cannot go back once you come to spiritual life, back to that materialistic lifestyle, if this spiritual knowledge gets in. So that is the beauty. Yet karnanadim. That karnanadi, what it does is, it goes inside and goes through that. It removes that avidya inside and gets in and purifies the place in such a way that it will start working. And only after it gets you released from this bondage and gets you out of this jiva state, only then it will leave us. And that is what Krishna mentions also in the 10th chapter of the 11th canto. You can see there. That verse, if you look at it, you will see. 11, 10, 13 it is. 11, 10, 13. You see what Krishna mentions there? That all of it is connected. Never leave these Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam as a independent chapters and verses. They have been structured in that way for convenience. But the message is one and the same message flowing through all the time. If you look at that, വൈശാരദി സാധി വിശുദ്ധ ബുദ്ധിർ ദുനോധിമായാം ഗുണസംപ്രസൂതം ഗുണാംശ്ച സന്ദഹ്യയദാൽപമേതൻ സ്വയം ജശാമ്യത് അസമിത് യഥാഗ്നി. The it is the poetical way of saying that. What it's saying is Vaisharadi Sadhi Vishuddha Buddhi. Vaisharadi means what? Sharada is another name of Yoga Maya, isn't it? You remember Krishna's Yoga Maya when she came? Ambika, Sharada, Narayani, Ishani. So Brahma Vidya, another name of Brahma Vidya is Sharada. That when it is spoken, it is Vaisharadi. It is called because of that. So Brahma Vidya is Vaisharadi. Vaisharadi Sadhi Vishuddha Buddhi. What this Vaisharadi does is, or Brahma Vidya does, or Atma Vidya, all same, it means the same thing. Spiritual knowledge. What it does is, Vishuddha Buddhir Dunodhimayam Gunasam Prasodam. It will finally take you out of the modes of nature. Dunodhi mayam, it will remove the maya and get you out of guna samprasuta, freedom from the guna, the three modes of. So this freedom from the guna, freedom from the three modes of nature is liberation. If you have freedom from the three modes of nature, it means you have freedom from everything. Freedom from the modes of nature is liberation. Liberation is not going and settling down somewhere else with the family, another family life, and all this pleasure of this world, again repeating it somewhere else. That is not liberation. Liberation is dunodhimayam guna samprasudam. Gunam, the three modes of material nature, from its grip, escaping from that. Gunam cha sandahed alpamedat. When you got come out of that freedom, alpamedat swayam cha shamyat asamit yadha agni. Like the fire, when it burns everything. In the similar way, this Vaisharadi Buddhi or this Brahma Vidya, once it gets in, it burns everything and it burns the modes of nature also in a person. And Swayamja Shami, and finally, that fire itself goes away. That is, so always you will notice. Brahma Vidya or Atma Vidya or spiritual life is always compared to fire. It's compared to fire. Once it gets in, it starts working and it starts burning. And it keeps burning and becomes a big fire. And in such a way that in that fire, everything else gets burned, including Maya gets burned in that fire. Gunamscha sandahyad atma medan swayam jashamyat samidnyathagni. Asamit yadhagni, like grass, kusha grass, shamita is burned in the fire, grass which is very dry. Similar way, when that Brahma Vidya becomes very strong inside, in that process everything else gets burned. So that is in that 11th canto Krishna has spoken, and that Vidya is called Vaisharadi Vidya. That is why when Ambika or Ishani or Narayani, she has, when she comes in the form of Brahma Vidya, she is called Sharada. She can take different forms. That is her potency, isn't it? She can come as Maya in the three modes. She can come as Brahma Vidya also, she can come. At that time, she is addressed as Sharada. And when Sharada, in the form of Sharada, when she is addressed as Sharada, in the form of Sharada, when she comes, Dunodhi Mayam Gunasam Prasudam. That means the Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, and which comes from Maya, she will completely wipe it out. She will completely wipe it out. So, it is that Vaisharadi Vidya, that is what Krishna is talking to Arjuna. That Vaisharadi Vidya is what Krishna is talking to Arjuna here. So Arjuna is asking at that time, how can I get released from that? How can I get released from that? How will I get released from the three modes of nature? So first of all, Arjuna asks this question, what are the symptoms of a person who is out of the three modes? Now Arjuna has asked this question, second question, that how will I get released from that? So that is when Krishna mentions there that first he said prakashancha pravartincha mohamevacha pandava na dveshti sampravrutani na vunivrutani kankshadi. He mentions that, isn't it? And he also mentioned after that udasinava dasino, the next verse. Udasinava dasino gunaryona vichalyade gunavartanda mityeva yovatishtati nengade samadukka sukha swastham samaloshtashma kanchana tulya priya apriyo dhira tulya ninda atma samstuti atma samstuti. So these are the verses what Arjuna was told, and he mentions there swastaha samadukka sukha swastham, isn't it? Samadukka sukha swastaha, he says. So whether it is sukham or dukham, happiness or distress, Krishna says here samam in both cases, because he knows that whether you have sukham or dukham, if you are experiencing that, it means that you are in the prakriti. If you are experiencing sukham or if you are experiencing dukham, it means you are in the prakriti. That is how it is. So sometimes we say, I'm feeling good, isn't it? Yeah. Or I'm feeling bad. That means you are in the prakriti. You are in the prakriti. So, whereas Krishna is saying there that if you are samanoshta, tulyaninda alpa samstudi. So, if you are in the alma stage, you are not in the prakriti. If you are situated as the alma, as self, as a soul, then you are not in the prakriti, you are in the swastha, so. Swam, you are situated in the swam. So, so when you are in the swam, swam means in alma, situated in the self. When you are so, when you are situated in the self, and that person who is swastham, that is how this word swastham comes. Swastham means you are situated within the self. That person, he will not impose any of the emotions of the prakriti in me, in him, in him. That means all the emotions, all the thought waves, everything is coming from the prakriti. He won't impose any of them on himself, on himself. And he knows that they are there in the prakriti, but he will not say they have come to me, they have not connected with me. That will be, that means he has a very clear separation from the prakriti. Samadukha, samaswastaha. Okay, happiness is there, distress is also there, but his shraddha is not there. He is a witness there in both. He is a witness in both cases. Therefore, so that is his state, that person who has come to that state. So, many big people, you will notice this, particularly very advanced people, they get diseases at the end, different kinds of bodily problems, but they are not in the disease. They are not affected by the disease. They say that, that they get cancer. Sometimes they get cancer. When the cancer comes, there will be pain in the body. There will be pain in the body, isn't it? But, and the problems also there. Problems also there with the pain. So, so, but, only thing is, what is the difference then? We will be thinking a very high degree of pain they are going through. They have the pain, but because they have not identified with the body, and they have identified with their self so strongly, that these bodily experiences are not actually disturbing their mind. They're still in the mind. They have, practically they are not in the mind. They have even moved away from the mind. Depending on where you are experiencing the pain and the pleasures. Where you are. If you are in the mind, you will experience different things. You are right. So that is why when Krishna says in the Bhagavadam, Dehastho Bhidma Dehastha. Come out of the Deham while living in the Deham. That is what is required. Not after leaving the body. While living in the body, you have to come out. Then only you can say that you have come out. That is realization. That is liberation. Dehastho vina dehastha vidvan supnan yathotida adehastho vina dehastha kumati supnudrakiyatha. Very important words that is. Sometimes Krishna speaks the truth straightforward. He says, puts it bluntly to us, like that. Dehastho vina dehastha. He says, you have to be like that. Otherwise there is no hope while living within this body. So, in the Yoga system, there is a verse about that. Adivyadi parikamyam kupagyum. Adivyadi, all these things, with that, you cannot worship the soul. You cannot worship the soul with your mind and your diseases and your mental problems and all that things. Because they are all in the prakriti. They are all in the prakriti. You have to worship Atma with Chaitanyam or Spirit. That's the only offer you can make to Atma. So, therefore you can see, when normally in the physical worship, when you worship the deity, you worship with flowers, you worship with incense and things like that, isn't it? And we offer flowers to Krishna. Now, in the Lalita Sahasranamam, that there is a statement like this. When you worship Ambiga, we mean Sharada, when you worship her, what kind of flowers you have to use? Normally when you say like that, you will think that, oh, you have to get a special flower for that from the florist. That's not what it's saying. It says, Chaitanya Kusuma Priya. That means, Chaitanyarkya Samarakyam. When you worship her with spiritual knowledge, she gets pleased. When you worship with ordinary flowers, of course that is a deity or external worship. But her real pleasure is when you worship her with spiritual knowledge. That is what pleases her. Chaitanya Kusumam. Chaitanya Kusumam means that even if you make a flower with gold or silver, it doesn't become. But, and write on that it is Chaitanyam. It doesn't mean that. What it means, Chaitanya Kusumam means that it's a very technical word, that word Chaitanya Kusumam. Chaitanya Kusumam means that in every moment inside us, without allowing any thought waves to come in, all the time this spurti from the self is coming out. It's continuously flowing. That flower you have to offer to Sharada, Ambiga. And that is Chaitanya Kusumam. That is Chaitanya Kusumam. Particularly what it means is that always in that realized state, conscious of the presence of the self within, and always under the influence of Antaryami's effect. That means constantly recognizing Antaryami's presence inside and surrendering to him. That is that Chaitanya Kusumam spoken about. Because in the verse, if you look, you will see Chaitanya Kusuma Priya addressing her like that. Chaitanya Kusuma Priya means that worshipping her, Brahmavidya or Atmavidya, through spirit, always identifying with the spirit and freedom from the body, mind, intelligence, any other chittavritti, all other things. Chaitanya Kusuma is that. So, the same thing that Chaitanya Kusumam is what Srinarayana Maharshi spoke in the 7th canto. That means between two thought waves, that break, that is that chittavritti, between two chittavritti, that is bodham pradivihitam. That bodham, pure consciousness, manifests. That is only possible to identify that when we have gone very far in spiritual life, that between two thought waves it exists. So that spurti, bodha spurti, awareness, comes between the two thought waves, and if you sense that, then you have offered this Chaitanya Kusumam to Ambiya, to Sharada. So, so to be situated like that, in that bodha spurti, and always to remain in that spurti, one who is situated like that, he doesn't require any external offering to Ambiya. There's no necessity for an external offering because he's always situated in that state. Situated in that state. So, not only that, when one has reached this state, then he cannot anymore engage in this external worship. that becomes difficult for him. Because inside is realized truth, then these external things becomes a burden for him. Sometimes they do. For example, Chandrasekhar Bharati's case, they used to say this. One day he came to their installation deity in Sharada Matham. It is called Sharada Matham in Sringeri. And that the deity is Sharada. That's what the form worship there. He comes in the morning, and one day he came and sat down there and started offering these flowers to her. But after a while, he couldn't continue and he sat there. And there were many others waiting for them to finish the worship. And he couldn't stop it. And he continued and he stopped worshipping externally, but internally he went into this state. And then they had to wait for a very long time for him to come out of that. To come out of that state. Because once inside that worship becomes very strong, external worship becomes very difficult. Very difficult for a person in that state. Chaitanya Kusuma Priya. So, and finally he woke, got up and walked away from there. So, because connection with the Prakriti is broken. That's what happened. Your connection with the material nature is broken. Material nature has no grip on you anymore. That is broken. So, at that time, that's an amazing stage situation that is. They compare this state, just like if you put a garland on a cow's neck. You know when they put the garland on the Gopuja, on the Gopashtami, they put this garland on the cow's body, isn't it? Cow's neck. And cow doesn't know anything, what you have done to the cow, what poor cow knows. Cow just puts it and he walks around everywhere. Walks around everywhere. One day the garland will drop and go. It's only you are celebrating. Cow doesn't know what you are doing about it, isn't it? So for a few days the garland will be there. After that, one after the other, all the flowers will fall away from the cow's neck. And cow is not conscious of anything. And even the whole garland goes away, the cow won't be conscious of that. You won't be aware of that. So similarly, the realized soul, after his attention has fallen on the self, on the Atma, and all his attention is in the Chaitanya, on the living force inside, he will be carrying this body like the way the cow is carrying its garland. That will be the relationships. That will be the relationship. He will be carrying his body like the way this cow on the Gopuja day, the garland you have put on the cow's neck. We brought the arati plate, we did arati, everything for the cow. And we fed the cow, people feed the cow nicely. Just as that is necessary, that has to be done. But at the same time, we must understand this also, that the cow is not conscious of anything. Cow is thinking, what are these people trying to do with me? What's cow's understanding? We are worshipping the cow because cow's noble position, as Krishna pleased with the cow's worship. So we have to worship the cow. But cow on its own is not conscious of anything. Cow is an animal like any other animal is, isn't it? So what is happening is that garland what you have put on the cow is not even aware of that. It will drop away one day. Similarly, the realized soul also, he come to such a stage that the body is like a garland hanging on him, and one day it will go. One day it will go. You will see in the Bhagavatam that mentions how Krishna has put that. If you look at the third canto, in two places this is spoken, this verse. That's why it's important. Spoken in the third canto, in the Kapila Maharshi's instructions to Devahuti Devi, and again in the 11th canto, when Kumaras were instructed by Krishna. Both places. And that's why those verses are important. 328, I think. And, yes. 28. And then you see the verse is 27, I think. Yes. All these examples to show it to us, what is that state? What is called freedom? Liberation means. This is how you have to understand liberation. Not in your imagination, whatever you have built up about liberation. Lot of people have a lot of funny ideas about liberation. Somebody says it's like Switzerland, living in Switzerland. Because Switzerland is full of blue sky and blue lakes and skiing facilities and all that. That kind of understanding. That's one kind of liberation. If you ask an Englishman, he will say it's like the Lake District. He will say. If you ask an Indian, he will say it's like the Kashmir. Like this, every one of us have created some funny concept of liberation in our head. And we are thinking all the time, what it will be like in Goloka Vrindavan when we go there. All this imagination. Imagination creates very funny ideas, isn't it, in the head. But look at here what it says. Deham chatam na charamastidamuttidamva siddho vibhashyati yato dhyagamad swarupam Deivadubedam adadeivavashadabedam vasoyata parikritam madhinamathanda. This is that verse. You see, all those two verses, 37 and 38, they appear again in the same way in the 11th canto. You know, in the 13th chapter. When Deho abhideivavasham khalu karma yaval Swarambhagam pradisameekshanameva sasum tam saprabhanjam adhiruda samadhi yogam swapnam punarna bhajade pradibuddha vastu. That is it. Deham jadam na charamam sthidam uttidam vam siddho vibhashyati yato dhyagamat swarupam deivadubedam ada deivavashadabedam vasoyata parikram madhina madhangam. That Madhina Madhanda means one who is drunk well, has gone to the pub and had a plenty inside, gone inside. And then he's walking back from the pub. So when he's walking back from the pub, his clothes are falling away, jacket has fallen somewhere, a hat has gone somewhere else. But he is not aware of anything, is it not? You may found why Krishna is used to this kind of example. I think probably he knows us well. That's to make us understand better. He couldn't think anything better than this. Because something from our own life looks more convincing to us, isn't it? So, similarly, Krishna is saying, if you are situated in yourself, in the platform of the self, he will not know that the body is there or not. And when the body drops away also, he won't know it, Krishna says here. So many Mahatmas, many realized personalities, when people have asked them this question, that they answered back, where is the body, they said. Where is the body? So, because people are seeing the problems in the body, in their body, is it not? They are suffering with diseases, they are suffering with the old age and things like that. So their answer was that, where is the problem? I don't have a problem, they are saying, answering back. So, and that what you are seeing there is the prarabdham, remaining prarabdham. That is called paresha prarabdham. Paresha prarabdham means that for outside people, they will see it, body existing. That is paresha prarabdham. Why it is paresha prarabdham means it affects the people outside than him, than the person. Person is not affected. He has come out of it. But other people are saying that he is still suffering from that. So, but that is why when you hear these things, these verses in the Bhagavatam will make us understand what does liberation means. Liberation means that coming out of this bodily identity completely, first thing. And Deivavashat Abhedam Vasoyata Madhikratam Madhira Madhanda. That Madhira Madhanda, like the clothes have gone off, in the same way body will go. Body will go. The only difference is, when you give these examples, the difficulty is this, that the man walking back after intoxicated, he is still in the bodily identity. Whereas the liberated person, does not see body anymore. But as he has still got the bodily identity, the other person doesn't have the bodily identity. So, that is the way we have to see. So, all these verses is explained here in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. For this reason only, that when you are coming out of the three modes of nature, that move from the modes of nature to that liberated state, how that will be, is that is what is spoken in that. That the identity with the body is completely broken, completely broken. And in that state, this will be the situation. Vasovayato madhikata mudhira mathanda. So, although, what is holding us back if it is like that? Why is that we are not getting that state? That is because of the influence of the karma in us. What karma has created is this coverage of the prarabdham. That is because prarabdham is too strong in our case. In their case, prarabdham has gone, but for outside people it appears that the prarabdham is still there in their state existence. And we are also existing like them. There is not much difference. But we are not conscious of that. We have not moved away from the body to the self in that way. And we are living in this world as body, in the bodily consciousness, isn't it? What we have got is identification with the body, dehabhimanam. And that dehabhimanam or bodily identification is the cause of all distress. So, sometimes you can see, temporarily we forget this body for a very short period of time, isn't it? And therefore the bodily problems also, temporarily we forget it. And in the deep sleep state, you say classic example that how you forget your bodily identity. But consciously, you are not able to do that. Consciously. Due to nature's arrangement, it can happen. Just like in the deep sleep state, it happens. Sometimes in the wakened state also, due to, say for example, a sudden shock you get, you may temporarily, you may become unconscious or something. In that state also, the bodily problems doesn't affect you at that time, isn't it? Murcha, they call it. Or temporarily you get a situation like that. That means in a unconscious way, you are able to move away from the body. But only when you are able to do it consciously, away from the body, then it is liberation. Otherwise not. Consciously able to move away from the body, that is spiritual life. That is spiritual life. And to be situated within the self. In that way. To be situated within the self. So, and if we sit like that, then tulya priya priyo dhiraha. What Krishna says in that verse. Tulya priyo priyo dhiraha. So, in other words, in that state only, if any priyam comes, priyam means something that is pleasing for you. You are not affected. And if any apriyam comes, unpleasant thing happens, you are not affected. Only in that state. Only in that state. And because it is not based on your thought waves anymore. It's not based on your thought waves anymore. And instead, what it is that your Shraddha does not go in that direction anymore. Instead of going towards the body, Shraddha goes towards the self. That's all. So basically, it's a question of Shraddha moving away from the body to the self. Body to the self. Tulya priya, tulya ninda, almana samstuni. So, if what someone, that is why at that stage, if someone glorifies him or praises him, it makes no impact on him. Similarly, if someone criticizes him or insults him, it does not affect him because his Shraddha is not there in the body. Therefore, he has escaped from that. So, normally from this you have to understand that if someone insults you or someone praises you, who is he praising and who is he insulting? The false ego. He is not insulting you. He is not praising you either. What he is insulting and he is praising is your false ego. Isn't it? So, our real personality, you cannot glorify or nor you can insult.
Nor you can praise the real personality, or nor you can insult your real self. And your Swarupam, nobody can do anything about it. And even if you say anything, you can only talk about the false ego of a person, isn't it? So, and similarly, you are talking about others also. When you talk about others also, you are only not talking about the self. You are only talking about their ego. That's what you are talking about. Praising somebody, you are talking about the false ego. Glorifying somebody, you are talking about their false ego. Because it is like that, that is why Krishna says in the 28th chapter, you should not speak glorifying or insulting or criticizing anybody. Because you are not speaking about that person, you are speaking about his ego. Do you understand that? Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi sa ash. What is the next verse? So parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi vishwam ekalmagam pashyan prakritya purushainacha. Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashu brashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. What is that asatyam? Asatyam is this. You are glorifying someone. Whom are you glorifying? Is ego. You are criticizing someone. Whom are you criticizing? Is ego. Everything you are doing for the ego. You don't see the person, real person inside. And that person, even if you glorify or even if you criticize, that person inside is not affected. That is the reason why Krishna is saying like that. You see how that verse is? Parasubhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi. He says, Vishwamekalmakam pashyan. It's a very higher level. You have moved away from the body very far. Come to your real state of identity as the self, and there you won't be affected by that. So, I think it is 5 o'clock. We'll stop today. Tomorrow, hopefully, we'll finish this chapter. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.